to another episode of Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
This is Hot Sauce.
And this is episode 107 of If Lands Could Kill.
101.7.
101.
The breeze! Something like that.
If you're not familiar with the podcast, we don't want any new listeners to just leave. Just go away.
Yeah, could be honest advice.
And if you're not familiar, we like to shoot the shit for the first half of the podcast, talk about whatever the fuck we want, such as, do you guys know why Obi-Wan Kenobi just disappeared into nothingness when he was struck down by Darth Vader?
I have absolutely no idea.
He used the Force?
Yes!
Going with the generic answer. How about this? With your answer, did he make contact with the saber, or did he do whatever he did before it hit him? Like, he knew it was going to happen.
No, I...
Like, he fucking swallowed the cyanide pill, like, right at the last second. He was like, I know I'm going to die. And it happens instantly.
He used ninja magic poof and, like, yeah,
exactly.
Smoke cloud.
I'm going to the netherworld.
In the bottom of every lightsaber, there's cyanide pills. Multiple. I was watching The Family Guy version.
It's actually just Family Guy.
The Family Guy. The Family Man. The version of the Star Wars, their little redo of it. And for some reason, when it happened in there, when Vader struck him down, I was just like, wait, why the fuck does he disappear? After all these years, I've never questioned it. And pretty much...
You can't question a religion, dude. Like, you'll get it, you know, tarnished. Everybody will attack you.
That is true.
If you have any thoughts on your own outside of what you've been told,
so,
everybody will attack you.
Actually, I have to do 10 Hail...
Jeebuses?
Yeah, Yodas.
Hell Yodas,
yeah. Most Jedi lose their bodily envelope and become one with the Force. But some Jedi have learned a technique allowing them to retain their own identities separate from the Force for a time. So usually it's just they lose their oneness and they just, you know, grow into the dirt and they become trees and, you know, whatever.
So you're saying that him being little ghost Obi-Wan, it's only temporary? It's not forever? Is that what you mean?
That's my understanding.
Okay. What's the time frame here? What do we got? A couple years, a couple days. What do we got here?
16 minutes.
16 minutes?
Yeah, make them count.
What's that shit from Rent? Is it the number from Rent?
Oh, God.
I don't know.
The listeners will fucking know. I don't know what it is.
The 500 something.
Ah, yeah. But you gotta sing it, though. A little inflection in that.
I know, but I wouldn't
something,
if something, I knew the rest of it.
And something, something, minutes. I don't fucking know how it goes.
Is that like a musical?
Yeah, it's a musical, homie.
Why do you know this?
I don't know. That's why I'm fucking questioning it.
You know enough. Which is too much.
They referenced it in Family Guy? Does that work?
You just throw shit at the wall hoping it sticks.
Okay, I have women in my life. Like, is that part of it? Does this get me out of it at all?
You should instinctively know to throw that information out of your head.
I'm just happy that you're attacking him with this and not me. But I'm the one who at least knew the first number of it.
Yeah, so. Just bring it on. Anyways, moving on.
Thought that was a little piece of information that everyone should be aware of.
We like it.
So how's your guys' week been?
Crow, you know you want to take this one.
Oh, I want to
take
this
the reins.
My week has been a lot of nothingness. I don't know. I'm still not working right now, so I'm just kind of enjoying sitting back, relaxing. Padres baseball just started, so I'm enjoying the beginning of the season right there.
I usually don't give a fuck about sports anymore since I hit puberty. That was a jab at you guys. Anyways, the Raiders moved to fucking Las Vegas.
Yeah, they did.
What is up with that?
It was, this was like a plan for a couple years now, but nothing official, of course. It was just like, they could be going to San Diego.
Right,
they could
be
going to fucking Cleveland or whatever the shit. They could be going to Las Vegas. They could stay at home, whatever. I don't know. So, or they could go to LA, you know, and be like, there could be two teams in LA.
And what,
three teams?
And yeah, well, either way, before all the decisions were made.
What the fuck is up with, two teams moving into the same city? Like,
dude,
I know there's teams that are they were just there, or you know, or very early on they just stayed there.
You're kind of preaching to the choir. You don't understand what you're saying, but it's ridiculous. It that's the point. Like, you can't, you're gonna have so many fucking sports teams in the LA area, and it's retarded.
Well,
and
I mean, just any one city, you know.
No, the question you're asking, I think, is basically, how can a city have two teams is what I'm hearing. It's why would they have two teams? Why would New York have two teams? Why would LA have two teams? Why the fuck Can't they just, like, distribute it and let, like, give us a chance? Come on. Yeah. San Diego's a cool city. Jesus. The fuck? Yeah. I don't know. I agree, though, that, like, L.A. is just congested with nonsense. And L.A. does not give a fuck about the Rams or the fucking Chargers.
I mean, the Rams right used to be in L.A. years and years ago. Right. Like, the 70s or 80s, something like that. And they were pissed and they were bummed when they left. I know some guys who, like, were alive and liked the Rams then and still like the Rams now because they were from L.A.
Gotcha. That's
where the guy was from. But now, like,
that's fair.
Now that they're back, only those cool people like him. Like, nobody else newer age gives a shit that the Rams used to be there. They don't care. So well, nobody went to the games there. So now the Chargers are going to L.A.
Enough,
it's retarded. Like,
enough, generation,
go to
enough generations will go by to where that those people are just going to be phased out and they're going to be fans again.
That's, dude, okay, so a couple things. Along the lines of, like, the old phasing out and, or, you know, and then the new people are here, younger kids are here. It's like, that relates to cars, too, because all these old classics that are, like, badass 1930s whatever stuff, nobody gives a fuck about that that's in their 20s right now or yeah. their teens. Like, you know, now they're into, like, electric cars and Tesla and stuff like that. Nobody gives a shit. Even, like, the old classic Mustangs, only, like, the son of a guy that was into that is going to be interested. And everyone else is like, they could give a fuck. So all those cars, those classics, I feel like are just going to be left in a fucking barn somewhere. Like, nobody's going to give a fuck. All the prices
Sweet,
are going to go down eventually.
Dude.
So for us, we're cool.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, they can get a 56 Bel Air eventually.
Yeah.
And that goes along with, so, like, the LA Rams. Yeah, like, they're only the fucking guys that are in their 50s give a shit, yeah. basically, or whatever.
That's, I mean, that's something I probably never end up getting, because I've never been a car guy. Never grew up around anybody who taught me how to, you know, work on engines and stuff.
Me neither.
So, like, my semi-dream is to have a 56 Bel Air, but I know I'll never actually get one because I won't know how to work on it, and it's going to need to be worked on all the time. So
it probably needs to get worked on all the time, yeah. And then they'll say, like, oh, it can't be on the road because it has a gas engine and blah, 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 and it fucking emissions, blah, blah. Other thing is that the Chargers, when they went to L.A., they had, like, a welcoming ceremony. Not, like, a big thing, but just kind of, like, when they got in the city and came off the bus type thing.
Yeah.
Guess how many people showed up?
200.
Guess.
35.
Five.
Five people?
Because nobody gives a shit about the Chargers in L.A. And only 25% of even San Diegans give a shit, because San Diego, first of all, is a destination city. So, like, nobody's from fucking San Diego. Everybody just travels here from another state, and then they live here until they retire, and then they get somewhere
until
else.
Until they die. Yeah.
Until they fucking die, hopefully. So it's a lot of people that like other teams because they're not from San Diego.
Right.
And the other part is that, like, we're in San Diego. Who gives a shit about football? Like, just enjoy the fucking beach and the weather. Like, you don't have to care about... If you lived where it's all, like, snowy
and
shitty...
Green Bay,
like,
dude?
What else you got to do?
Holy
shit. You literally
shit.
Just got to do football.
So I went there and went to the town and everything. Went to the stadium.
What name the stadium?
I don't fucking know.
Chestershire United.
Hewlett-Packard. Yeah, yeah.
Lambeau. You're looking for Lambeau.
Yeah. I love cars.
Different spelling, dude, you slow bitch.
That was good, though. I enjoyed it. Good for you. Good for you. I didn't see those.
Lamborghini.
Shut the fuck up.
So I went there. And that town is not like a town like how we think of towns. That has, like, strip malls and Denny's. And there's two Denny's, you know. And they're like, fuck that other Denny's. Let's go to the good Denny's, you know. It's literally,
that's a thing here.
It's literally a big neighborhood. And there's, like, nothing there. There's not. I mean, there might have been a mall or something. I saw nothing but houses and the goddamn stadium. And we went, like, all around. So
did you see the stadium?
Yeah, I saw the stadium.
Did you put your hand on the wall and be
like,
yeah,
took pictures, rubbed my ass on it. It was great. But it's just, yeah, they have nothing else going on. Literally nothing else going on there. They have to go buy their groceries at the stadium because there's no.
It's like Fallout 4 and off season they make it into.
Yeah, they have like
farmers
markets
market
and shit on the infield. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Screw it.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. Okay. So another thing along those same lines, Las Vegas, I feel like, is a pretty good place to have a team because Las Vegas sucks, dude. Like, the Strip is sweet and, like, that little spend 3 or 4 days there is pretty fun if you have the fucking cashola and you're obviously interested in that kind of stuff. I like gambling. I fucking hate losing money, but at the same time, craps is, like, a super good feeling. It's like a drug, you know, to do some gambling. But that town fucking sucks. Everyone that lives there is there because it's cheap, or they grew up there, or because they work in Las Vegas.
Or because they went there, lost all their money, and couldn't get out.
They couldn't get back home. Can't afford a bus. So, yeah, I think Las Vegas is, like, kind of a terrible city when you go to Henderson and everything else around there. Sorry for our listeners, but, I mean, you would love to live in San Diego, I'm sure, so whatever.
I go there, and, yeah, outside of the actual main strip, yeah, it's just garbage.
People that
and
live there don't give a shit about the strip. They just know it's, like, consistent work, but now they have something to fucking cheer for.
And then when we go there and it's like we're on the strip, it's like, dude, you get me on the strip for like 3 or 4 days, and then I'm like, dude, I've had enough of the lights, I've had enough of people handing me pornography cards. I never get sick of that. I'm lying.
Well, they got little stars over the vajays, man.
If you find the right card flipper guy, he's the one that sells the drugs, just so you know.
Okay, perfect.
Of course.
Perfect.
Yeah. You can't make the money alone from flipping cards.
Yeah.
Who the fuck even pays you for that?
Most of them don't speak English, but the one dude who leads the pack of them or handing them all out, he's the one who sell you cocaine.
The lead fucking...
I bring my cocaine into Vegas. I don't
really
buy that.
I brought my cocaine, and I use it all, and then I need more, and I had to come across this guy. Well, I'm in Vegas. I got to go with this and buy
this.
Make
that mistake once. Next time you bring more cocaine.
No, it was actually not bad.
Mm-hmm. Cocaine is... I would be scared to bring pot into Vegas. I don't know how the laws have changed, but like you bring a joint and they'll fucking lock you up for 20 years.
I had strict.
The first time
there.
I went, I had one little teeny pinner, and I was like so fucking scared the entire time.
I give a fuck. I don't know how to handle myself. It was the buying it from the guy that was like sketchy as fuck. So like
this is all allegedly, by the way. This
allegedly.
This is a fictional.
And so I'm like, I don't really believe this. Like this is kind of sketchy. So I made the guy I said to the guy oh yeah, I don't want weed, but I'll buy coke. And so, but I kept walking. And I walked like 2 blocks away until she chased me down to come sell it to me because I think he would get it from somebody else in the line. I'm like, hey, well, there's nobody else around us. There's no way you have me on fucking something that's going on. Sure, now I trust you enough to buy this and go for it. And it was fine.
And by the way,
allegedly,
we're a nerdy magic podcast. We've just been talking about drugs and sports the whole time. So
that's weird, right?
Not to alienate any of our listeners.
We told them the first half we talked about what the fuck we want. We said
Corey Neese likes fucking football.
Yeah,
so we're good. It's just for him.
And he smokes a lot of crack.
Cocaine.
I want to rebuttal your comment about it being good for Las Vegas people who live there for a football team. It's the same fucking thing as San Diego. It's going to be a fucking destination town where you're going to have people like you, me, other people who are actually Chargers fans who are going to want to go to games or enjoy watching the team. But they're not going to have a solid fan base who are going to be like selling all the games out unless you have a bunch of people coming in from their towns to come in. So it's going to be... Again, for a destination football game where whoever comes in to play against the Raiders, the Chiefs, or whoever comes in, it's going to be a bunch of Kansas City fans coming to watch Kansas City play and go to Vegas, not a bunch of fucking not overloaded with Raiders fans.
That's possible.
That's my call. That happened in San Diego.
So what else is going on?
All I know is Bo Jackson is amazing.
He's amazing. He was in that commercial.
Yeah.
Mowing down people with his Kia, dude.
Yeah, you can't stop him in Super Duckmobile.
He's unstoppable. I know. Yeah. He just does circles. He's like, I'm just going to run back and forth 100 times, and then I'm just going to score one.
That's actually how I know.
Run out the fucking clock, and then just score the last 5 seconds.
Video games is a huge reason why I know anything about sports. Playing Super Tecmo Bowl, playing RBI Baseball, all that shit.
Agreed.
On that note, for RBI Baseball, on the Xbox, it doesn't have a solid baseball game anymore. Licensing has been purchased by PlayStation. That's why they have MLB The Show, and that's been like that for years now.
Which is the best game, right? Isn't The Show the best one, or no? Or just MLB?
It's just the only option.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the MLB 2K5, that series of stuff, the 2K series, it no longer exists.
Oh, really?
And when it did exist, they were horrible. Like, there was tons of glitchiness and bugginess. And so, yes, The Show was definitely the game to play, but you couldn't play it on Xbox, so you only had those options. The best baseball game of all time was MVP Baseball on PlayStation 2. It had, like, the best, like, video game soundtrack that wasn't, like, made for the game itself, but, like, actual, like, songs are out in the world. That was, like, to my personal taste, that was the best soundtrack of any game ever, as far as real songs. But Xbox hasn't had a legit baseball game in years because of licensing buyouts and shit. And baseball games don't make enough money. Anyways, so because of that, like, the baseball season started, like, I was itched to want to, like, try to play some baseball game. I've been renting movies from Redbox, and I saw RBI Baseball 17 there. Like, I know the RBI Baseball series is more of an arcade-type game and, like, you know, whatever. It's like more of like a app game than it is a full game.
Yeah, I mean, it's they haven't done much in the way of changing it from the NES days.
Yeah, and that's kind of like their niche that they're trying to go for, I guess.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? I'll give it a shot. And, because they've made this new one on the Xbox One, which they didn't have last year like that. They brought back the RBI series to the apps and stuff. That was, like, the big push last year. But
right.
Now, make a real game of it, I'm like...
Oh, so it's not just the...
No, it's a legitimate Xbox One game now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, but that's the thing. You can still buy the same exact game for $5 on your iPad that you can buy for $60 on the Xbox One game. It is the same game. That's what I'm getting to is I rented it because I was like, whatever, I'll give it a chance. And I played two games and said, fuck this, and took it back. Like, it was, it's horrible. So don't waste your money on RBI Baseball 17. It's fucking, go buy, if you want to play that kind of game or a fan of the RBI Baseball series, go buy it on your phone for $5 rather than $60 on your Xbox One. It's not worth it at all.
I feel like the last good RBI Baseball was RBI Baseball 3 for the regular Nintendo. And then the last good Tecmo Bowl was the Super Tecmo Bowl for the Super Nintendo. Yeah. And then everything after that, I remember renting, or maybe I bought it. Anyways, I got RBI Baseball for the Super Nintendo, and like innings took like forever. And it was just this like very arduous and like painstaking process to play the game. And I was just like, wow, I'm going to burn this for warmth in the winter.
Yeah. I have nothing good to say about RBI Baseball 17. It was fucking so horrible. And I barely made it through the game one because I was so upset with it. But I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll play one more. I'll start playing. I didn't finish the second game. I started playing the second one. I'm like, I can't do it. This is fucking horrible.
You know what's cool is there's people out there who are super into like the original Tecmo Bowls and RBIs, and they will mess with the programming or whatever to make current teams and current stats of current players.
Yeah.
And actually you can
mod
play
the game.
Yeah, they mod it to where it's the actual season that's going on right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fucking awesome.
That's cool. That because if you're still playing the old game and you're not looking to have a better fucking experience, you're looking to have your fun experience you've had since a kid.
Yeah.
That's fine. This is a pile of shit. Just fucking horrible.
I was very excited when I saw they were coming out with it, and then I saw the trailer, and
nope,
I was like,
don't do it.
Oh, man.
That's the thing. I hadn't seen the trailer. I sat there. I was like, I shouldn't rent this. I was like, I tried to look up a YouTube video, and it showed like 2 minutes of gameplay. It wasn't like a good little video, but I was like, I've been standing outside this fucking red box for like a couple minutes. There's one dude looking at me a little awkward as he's renting and wondering why I'm standing next to him watching a video. I'm like, okay, whatever. Fuck it. I'll try it. It was a mistake.
Well, listeners, now you know. If you want to play baseball, go suck a dick.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Like Nike.
Or PlayStation, whatever.
What? Yeah.
Just okay. All the good baseball games. All
right,
all
right.
Yeah,
he
used to just do it. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm saying if you play PlayStation, go suck a dick.
You know what? I'm going to argue with you for the next 2 hours and 20 minutes. So let it begin. I'll start it off. I'll start
the
us off.
Salt is on.
It has begun.
I'll start us off. Fuck you, bro. Did I win?
Call that phone number. He's on there.
Yeah.
Another thing I did this week was a show that Netflix has been making a lot of their own, movies and TV series and things. Some of them are pretty good. Some of them are pieces of shit. There was one that came out called 13 Reasons Why. It's based on a book. I was like, whatever. I saw it on there. Didn't really care. And I saw a trailer for it. And I was like, well, I'm going to give it a chance. I ended up fucking watching the entire series all the way through in one go. Because it's a very intense show. I can't say good because the topics it's about is fucking intense and it's fucked up shit. And it's because it's this girl makes 13 tapes of why she killed herself kind of thing. But overall, like it was so well written, well acted, and well put together and done. It was just a very good show on what they were trying to do and the information they're trying to get out and things that.
So
heard.
Is it like one season and it's done?
Yeah, it is. Okay.
That's cool. I like shows like that.
It is. She literally starts the show starts off with her talking about if you got this tape, you're one of the 13 reasons why I killed myself. Basically, like not those exact words, but that's what.
Okay.
She did.
Let's not. I don't want to go too much into it though. I kind of want to see it now.
Well, it's known that she committed suicide.
I'm just saying, like, if you go any.
But why?
Yeah, but why? But how does it end?
I've been trying to not make that joke.
Hey, she dies at the end.
Yeah. Actually, she's dead at the beginning. He was listening to her why she killed herself.
She was dead by the end.
Anyways, though, like it's a weird thing that I just sit there like want to sit down and watch. And it was, but if you have any experience in your life with anybody who's done that act or almost killed themselves or anything like that situation, it becomes very intense to sit there and watch, and it becomes very real. And it's a very, very well made show. And very well put together, and even the camera work, that's one thing you're going to love, is after the show, they made a Beyond the Reasons, where they actually bring like psychologists and things down there and talked about things and what goes on with that kind of situation. And one of the actors was talking about how hard it was in one of the particular scenes. And it even says, like, in the script, it says, like, and we stop on her face for what is longer than normal. And I remember thinking about someone watching the episode, like, this is just... They kept showing it in her face at one point, and it's like, this is so uncomfortable.
Makes you feel something.
Like, it feels so awkward and, like, so wrong watching this part. It's just so fucked up. And it's just, it was really well-made show. And it's very intense, and it's good, but it's very intense.
I kind of like the idea of it. I think it's a cool idea.
If you want a feel-good hit of the summer, go watch a movie or documentary called The Bridge, I think it is, or something like that. And it's about the bridge in what's the bridge? San Francisco Bridge?
Golden Gate Bridge,
thank you. And it's like the most popular destination to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Like people travel to the bridge to jump off of it.
Yeah.
And it is just a mind fuck of a fucking thing to watch. I mean, it sounds, you know, fucked up in the head as it is.
I can't go into too much detail because they go over so many things happen. I don't want to give anything away.
Right.
I do suggest seeing it. But it's fucking intense. It's fucked up. And
but the difference is that's fiction. This is a documentary.
Yeah.
Not to say that you know it's worse than the other.
It's different.
But the things that happen in this show are things that happen in high schools.
Right. Of course.
Obviously, this is a more extreme situation.
Takes place
in the
moon, by the way.
But it's I hear what you're saying.
Really hard to hang yourself.
I keep bouncing.
I keep floating up. What the fuck?
You gotta just throw like a boulder really high in the air while the rope's tied to it and just hope that
it just pulls you with it.
It just snaps your neck from that. Reverse. You gotta do the reverse.
See what we did there? We're uncomfortable and then we made it funny.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
I gotta say Junior Seau. That's what I gotta say. that's my answer to that.
Oh, that's a tough pill to swallow. Because he had a pill problem. Oh, come on! I fucking spit gold at you guys. And you're just like, nothing.
We were just laughing already. So, yeah.
Don't do it, kids. Don't do it.
The rest of your week. How much suicide was involved in the rest of your week?
No, just that season. But it was, I don't know, man. But earlier you were talking about the Force stuff, and you made a comment about Yoda.
Oh, yes.
There's this fucking... I don't know. Maybe I should leave it alone. It's the funniest fucking moment. It's like the one time you truly get a good chuckle in when you're watching the show.
Which show?
Oh, what 13 Reasons?
Oh, no, leave it in because I want to see it. Yeah. I want to see it.
So never mind. Yoda's involved in it, but in the joke. So I'll leave it alone for you because it's fucking funny.
Yeah, I would prefer to see it.
And it's in one of the most intense episodes, so it just breaks up that moment where you're just like intensified, like watching it going fuck, and then all of a sudden you're laughing your ass off for 20 seconds, then you go back in intense. So.
It's a thing of beauty. Mm.
It's a good, really good, well put together show.
Sexy.
Anything else? I started Fallout 4 again last night because every time I turn it on in my hiatus of video games, getting back into games again, I keep turning it on to a spot where I'm annoyed where I am in the game, and it's one of those things where it's a in depth RPG where it's been too long to really get back into it. And I can jump back into it, but I decided I'm going to start it back over. Got to the point where I was like, you know what? Before I start now, I'm going to go ahead and make my... Because in the beginning, you can adjust your facial features.
Right.
So now I'm playing as the Joker.
Nice.
So I'm excited for that. Pretty cool.
Very excited.
And you got this big old pamphlet in front of you.
Yeah, I'm actually going to... I finished making the face, and then I started getting on to where you start putting your VAT, or your strength
like skill points tree, into it.
Your
right?
skill tree points into where you start. And I happened to fall asleep, so I hadn't done that yet. And we're over here today... And Mr. Knife actually has the Fallout 4 Survivor's Survival Guide, so I'm going to go and borrow this for the
fucking thing is huge. It looks like like a textbook from when you're in high school. Like it's fucking gigantic.
Yeah,
it's got to be like 300 pages, full size, like 8.5 by 11 pages.
It explains everything to thorough detail, which I'm very excited.
Which
about.
Is exciting that like the game can provide that information. Like it's so deep that like. You could totally use something like this to make the experience better.
Yeah.
And you could go ahead and read this for like a week and then go ahead and move on to the fucking
game. It totally made sense, helped me make sense of all the guns and all the stats and all
See,
that
See, that's
shit.
One of the things, too, that I was upset about because that's one book. Thing I don't like about Fallout 4 is that how you build the guns and stuff? I'd rather come across like the old Fallout games where you come across like, legendary guns and like special guns and do things. And I have different styles of guns. And now this is all like you have one base model or a couple base models that you build off of.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of it. It's not confusing. I don't know what it is, but I just didn't really spend enough time getting into it. So I'm gonna use this guide to look more into how I want to build the Joker, and maybe even play a different style of Fallout than I usually do. Because I don't usually do like in depth on charisma that kind of stuff. But Joker's a fucking talker and gets people to do the shit for him. So I might change it up a little bit, play a different style.
So the whole gun thing is it's feels like it's almost too customizable in my eyes. Like, it's cool, and usually that's not something I complain about.
Yeah, it's a weird thing I'm upset about too, but like just something about it, I just didn't.
I feel
didn't
like
click
it's
right.
It's hard for me to optimize it and use the best gun and the best parts mm-hmm. because I'm not sure which one is the best. So obviously, it just probably if I just looked into it more or I studied it more.
Yeah.
But it's not something where you just can. It takes you 2 seconds. And you're like, oh, okay, well, if I just put this mod on this gun, okay, that makes it better, and. It's a lot more in-depth than that.
That was the problem for me, is I didn't want to put the time into it because I was already kind of like, not boycotting is the right word, but I was already upset that it was that style in this one. I just didn't like it. So I didn't put the time into learning it. So that was part of the reason why I didn't play the game in-depth yet.
And that's part of the reason why...
I have the season pass for it, so I have all like six DLCs now. So like I love the Fallout series. I'm going to go through and go play it now. But now that you happen to have this, I'm going to go ahead and learn about the guns and that stuff better right now.
The thing that pisses me off is, so obviously the whole inventory thing of the game, if you get too much, then it slows you down, and certain stuff weighs a certain amount. So, like, I'm holding on to all these fucking guns, and I don't know what to, like...
Get rid of? Yeah.
Yeah, to piece apart, or to fucking sell, or to, like, whatever. And so I'm just, like, constantly having, like, throw shit away. It just pisses me off.
Yeah.
But I am a good portion of the way through the game, so I just need to get back on it myself.
I feel like they didn't up the amount of weight you can carry, but they upped the amount of things you can pick up. So, like, proportionate-wise, you're constantly throwing shit away. And constantly, with the gun thing, you have, like, 30, I don't know, 100 different items you can put on the guns. And you have all this different shit for guns, but you still have to carry all your fucking things that give you health and all kinds of other shit and the rat away and all everything else. But they didn't make it so you can actually carry more.
Don't they have, like, a chest, though, that you can put certain shit in?
Yeah, well, you build a town, so but you have to go all the way back to your town to unload and shit like that.
Okay,
like,
I'm just curious. It's not just all on you,
you
though.
You can create routes with the robots who will then make it so they, like, build a road to their town so you can, like, fast travel. Not fast travel, but you are able to access what you have in this chest in one town in another town like, instantly. But you have to, like, build that road to get there to do it.
I do like that, you know, when you side with certain factions, it changes the dynamics of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really realize that until I started coming into all these choices. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't really know, like... I don't want to, like, spoil it for myself, but I want to kind of give myself a heads up to, like, what am I actually doing when I'm taking these missions on?
Oh, as far as, like, going online and seeing what paths lead to.
Yeah, exactly.
They lead to three totally different scenarios of things you can do.
Yeah, like, I didn't want to spoil the ending, but...
What are the factions?
I know there's, like, the humans, the...
Cyclopses and the devil babies.
Yeah.
Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But, yeah, and to that point, like, for me... Because, you know, we're in this world of fucking, like, the social media shit, so things get spoiled all the time for people.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking thing you have to deal with. Luckily for me, given enough time and enough me not paying attention to it, like, I see something, I do my best not to read it, but maybe I see it. And, like, right now, I remember all the things that were spoiled about what factions and, like, what an older character comes back into the game and this and that for a particular faction if you go this way. But overall, it's been long enough for me that I'm able to do a good job of, like, blanking that out. Where I may know a skeleton of what is spoiled of it, but I don't remember enough to go, okay, now this bit's ruined for me. I'm either going to want to meet that guy again and go this direction or whatever. Now I don't remember what faction you have to do that, so it becomes my choice again if I want to look into it, spoiling it myself so I can decide which faction or just play the game and choose a faction based on how I'm playing.
Right.
So, like, luckily for me, it's been long enough and I'm able to block it out so I can do what I want. So that part's going to be good.
Sweet.
So, yeah, I'm excited to play again. It's going to be good.
Beautiful.
That was pretty much my week, fellas. How about you, Hot Sauce?
I bought Fallout 4, and I played like 5 hours of it, and then I just got absorbed with other stuff. So it will be I have to play Witcher 3 first in its entirety, because I've played a little bit of that too. But I keep getting sidetracked with other stuff. So, but right now I'm like 60 fucking hours into Mass Effect Andromeda, and that's not a better game than Fallout 4 or Witcher 3, but... For some reason, just the sci-fi world really strikes me.
And you're, like, really into that, not only the franchise, but that game, despite the nitpicky reviews.
You know, it games, movies, I mean, books, whatever, we talked about it, so I'm not going to get too into it. But just because I'm not going to rate it a 10 out of 10, because it's not a 10 out of 10 game, doesn't mean that it's not my highest priority. Even though I know Witcher 3 is a near-perfect game and Mass Effect's not, you know, it's weird for me to play, you know, the worst game over the better game, but that's just how I feel. You know, it's just something just strikes your fancy more. You know, this was a game like that. So, So I'm like 60 hours in. I think I'm probably like two-thirds in or somewhere around there. I know the story itself is only, like, it's less than 30 hours to beat the game, for sure. But I don't care. I'm just kind of, like, doing everything I see, you know, and taking my time. And I'm going through the side quests and just, I'm beating all side quests before I can do a story mission. So I do a story mission. It unlocks another 10. I do all 10.
So you're playing like I play.
Yeah. Which is the games I care about, I play that way.
Yeah.
And a lot of other games that I'm just like, no, I want to just do the campaign because I heard it's good. Get it out of here. Like Witcher, I know is too long. Like Witcher, I've heard, is like hundreds and hundreds of hours if you want to do everything. Ain't going to happen. I'll do a little bit to make sure my like character is leveled and I have certain things. Like you can kind of feel like what quest is going to give you a certain kind of item or whatever else. I'll do something like that. But otherwise, I'm just going to do story stuff and burn through it in like 40, 50 hours probably. Anywho, yeah, Mass Effect is, I've been playing still a little bit of that.
Speaking of games, as you're looking up your week, are you guys excited for Red Dead Redemption 2?
Oh my God, yes. Red Dead Redemption is, I'm going to say, it's going to be top five of all time.
It is a
top
fantastic, five. Fantastic game.
I never played it.
I think we had this question before. I kind of want to bring it up. Like, you should borrow my copy and play it.
I mean, I had watched people play it,
yeah,
I never like got into it myself just because I didn't have a Xbox at the time.
Some people, if there's going to be a fault with it, some people think it's just too slow of a burn.
Okay.
That's probably the biggest fault with the game if someone thinks that way. But otherwise, the game is stellar.
You're in the old
stellar.
West. You're not supposed to be like gunning.
No, nothing to defend here. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, I disagree with that assessment. As long as
oh, okay. Well, that's what people's reviews.
No,
are.
No, I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying I disagree with those reviews.
Oh, okay. So,
if you don't want to play long, in depth, awesome RPGs, then it's not the type of game.
No. It's not what I mean. It's not. I'm saying that for certain people, why they wouldn't play it is because of that reason. It's not
okay,
because
well,
it's not.
Those people don't like RPGs.
It's what It's what they wanted to do with the game. It's not like they missed the mark. They hit it right on, but if someone doesn't want to play it, just like, I'm not going to play, Final Fantasy or whatever. They're doing exactly what they want to do, but I think it's just too slow of a game for me. It doesn't, like, takes too long to get into it. So anyways, even though the game, for everyone that's a fan, thinks it's great. So, Red Dead Redemption is fucking awesome. And the second one comes out this year?
Yeah.
End of the year? Yeah. Top five, though. I'd say, like BioShock franchise, that, mostly just these, like, fucking first-person... Not first-person, but, like, action drama-esque campaigns. What is that one with the fucking zombies post-apocalyptic one on the PS4? PS3?
I was going to say, you're talking about Undead Nightmare?
No. I can't think of what it was. Anyways, moving on past that. I wanted to have start off by...
Oh, no, Dead Space.
No. The one that,
Left 4 Dead.
God, we're all getting there. We're getting there, guys. You want to keep going?
What other games have Dead in the title?
No, I've mentioned it. It's a third person. It's made by the guys that
Resident
did
Evil.
Nathan Drake fucking Uncharted.
Okay.
And then, anyways, they made a post-apocalyptic version of it. Anyway, we haven't talked about something that
Far
I want to talk about.
Blood Dragon?
That's what it is. Blood Dragon.
Resident Evil 2.
Not that.
Resident Evil 4.
Damn it, I want to bitch about something. We're going to have something real good. You ready?
Ready.
The Walking Dead.
Ah!
We haven't talked about The Walking Dead at all, like 107 episodes, 106 episodes goes by. We haven't talked about it at all.
Oh, it's been talked about.
I don't even feel like we have.
Well, we haven't gone into it like we have with other shows.
I don't want to, like, you know, really get into it, but I want to just say
I'm ready to bitch.
So season 7 just ended. I've seen every episode because I'm kind of forced to, along with my girlfriend.
And by the way, spoiler alert, I'm going to spoil the fuck out of this season. So,
for sure, go for it. Absolutely. Just skip ahead fucking 5 minutes.
It's good because it's one of those things I haven't watched it through yet. I've only watched first season.
It's not going to spoil really anything.
Well, my point is, I know, like, everybody's already upset about things and like this and that, so things are already spoiled.
The
so
thing we're going to be upset about is not spoiler stuff.
Yeah, it's not even like people dying or nothing.
No, it's like the good stuff.
It's almost like the lack thereof.
Yeah. So when I think of good series, I think that there's a good beginning, good end. When I think of something like this, I think of this show called Homeland, and they made a mistake, which I think I've mentioned, that is seasons 1 through 3 had a storyline. That storyline ended. Season 4, they had to just come up with something fresh and new.
Right.
And that ruined it for me because I'm like, no, the story was this. Now you're just making shit up to make more TV.
Yeah.
Walking Dead has had two elements of this already where they had season 1 in its own little bubble, which was fucking pretty great, where they have it where they're searching for the cure at that medical center or whatever, okay?
Yeah.
That part, season ends, whatever, then it has to go on to something new. I'm like, okay, well, that sucks. I kind of was hoping they would expand more on that, but it's only one season. Then they went for, now there's a cure in D.C., right? And that went on for the next 3 seasons or 4 seasons or whatever. And then that storyline ended as far as, like, that was not going to be a solution.
Right.
And now there's nothing going on. They're just surviving. But a show How can a show just be going on, just it's living day by day?
It's surviving on his name at this point.
Oh my god, it's so bad not having a fucking goal.
Well, I mean, even when they were in the prison, they didn't have. There was no goal.
No, the goal was still Washington D.C. That was afterwards.
No, they didn't have Homeboy yet.
Oh, they didn't have Homeboy yet. Okay, yeah. So that wasn't a goal yet.
So there was like a good like season or two where there was no goal.
Okay,
but I do. Okay. I do agree with you. In the Homeland example is on point. I stopped watching the show after that because me and my girlfriend, we were watching it religiously, and then that, you know, that season four happened or whatever, and then, dude, I just like lost so much wood.
If I could recommend a show, like Homeland 1 through 3, and please end it there, is like perfect show.
Yeah,
like
great.
The acting is impeccable. It's like as good as True Detective season one. Where you just feel like the, it's
have you
real.
Seen that, Corey?
It's fucking real.
You're gonna borrow from me.
Oh my god, True Detective.
That's one of those ones. For me, it's one of those shows. Like my favorite all time show overall is Rescue Me.
Yeah.
After that, I know. I don't care. The show is fucking hilariously fantastic. Past the Dennis Leary conversation and all that shit, that show is fucking great. After that, I have to say probably True Detective is number two.
Okay.
And like, maybe even, like, combo number one is just they're different genres.
Right.
So, like, True Detective, the first season is just so beyond fucking amazingly perfect. So well acted. So well made. It's so fucking good.
Yeah, when actors, when the characters come alive and it's, like, a believable universe, no matter if it's fiction or nonfiction, it is amazing. Well, of course,
that's when I learned Matthew McConaughey is actually a good actor. Like, that he is so fucking good in that show.
Crazy.
It's insane.
So
yeah, back to The Walking Dead is that I think it's suffering the problem that Sons of Anarchy did, where it's like it's starting, the storyline is starting to get repetitive. No matter how many like cliffhangers and people die or like whatever, it's the same fucking thing. There's a bad guy, we gotta not fucking succumb to the bad guy.
They're gonna transition from one bad guy to a next bad guy. So like, say middle of a season, they're going to introduce like a shadow of someone's back and then not talk about it for 3 episodes. And then they're finally going to kill the big bad guy from all season. And then they're going to find the guy in the shadow. And then it's going to be next season's bad guy.
Yeah.
And it just does this whole rotating bullshit. So I wanted to say one thing about the prison is that that was the first time they found a home, proper home. And that kind of felt good. Even though I didn't think the season was fantastic, I just thought that kind of made sense that, like, okay, we're finally getting to, like, a place we can call home. Of course, that went away, and then they just do that multiple times, and it's like, all right, well, how many times are you going to find a new home? And it fall to shit. Like, this is just going to be rotating forever and ever and ever until they can stop making money off it.
Glenn's girlfriend's fucking hot.
Super hot. Maggie is super hot. Oh. I said in Supernatural show. Oh, my God. She's, like, drop dead. Fucking ridiculous.
So, yeah,
Meg Turney. That's what my response to that. Meg Turney.
So this season, how many episodes were there? 10, 15, 20?
Let's call it 12.
It's usually 12 a season, I believe.
Well, let's call it 12. So they do that stupid half season finale bullshit.
Which is why I boycotted the show the first season.
Which is, I hate when shows fucking do that. So the whole storyline for the whole season can be wrapped up in half a fucking season. Because there were so many episodes that were just driving home this point that Negan was this badass and they were at his mercy and they kept trying to be sneaky and no, but Negan's sneakier and he's more badass and he's gonna kill. They could have done all that in 6 episodes and then the season finale could have been the half season finale.
Because nothing got resolved.
It was just this buildup of trying to explain the point. He's a badass and we're fucking not in control.
All they
anymore.
Did was like gain some traction back in their favor, but nothing else. Like, it's nothing happened this whole season. 12 hours later, it's still the same scenario. Just with a little bit more traction on their side.
Go Negan.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
And a couple, you know, more dead people from the cast.
That's it. Like, who cares? Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
And it's like one of those, like, see, you're right, it should have been mid-season because when by the end of it, what they usually do is they, the first half season is like, okay, everyone's in fucking duress and blah, blah, blah. And then the season finale or the mid-season finale, now the team's back together to fight.
Yeah.
And then the second half of the season will be them fighting the fight as a team. Well, this time, they're split up the entire time, and now at the season finale, they're back as a team. And it's like, you went 12 episodes apart just to go ahead and get back together, and now we're going to start the next season, and they're going to get fucking split apart again. And it's going to be the same bullshit, and it's so fucking
basically
annoying.
The season finale was them going, you know what, we're going to unite and fucking fight against Negan. And that's what the past, like, That's what the past six episodes were all about. You didn't there
gathering
was,
the courage.
Yeah, they were just fucking mustering.
They're
the
literally strength. Gathering resources for a fucking season to do nothing with those resources.
You know what it was like?
So we're saying that season eight's last season.
It was like the first
season. Before oh yeah, yeah.
Before it's going to get canceled.
Like,
season eight.
It was like the first 30 minutes when you play Age of Empires. You're like, I just need to gather gold. Yeah. I need to gather some wood. I gotta build some trees.
I gotta build a barracks.
That's what it was. It was fucking nothing. It was fucking garbage.
Yeah, so I won't. I wanted to say that we just needed to like let it out because we're forced to watch this shit with our fucking girlfriends, and we're not forced, but I mean like they like that shit. So
well, it's like the same thing with Sons of Anarchy. I had invested 4 or 5 seasons into it, and I feel like I can't just abandon it now. Even though I don't, I'm like sick of it or I hate XYZ about it. I need to write it out. And same thing with this. Is
that's
that,
what happened to me with Sons of Anarchy. It's like I am a fan of buying DVDs a season instead of like watching it like every week and the commercials on that shit.
Right, right.
So I'll buy a season of it that I can watch at my leisure and like, you know, burn through it. And I don't have a problem rewatching shows a year down the road and rewatching things. It doesn't bother me at all. I get enjoyment out of it. I just put on one TV, have that playing, and I play my game at the same time. So I have two TVs next to each other. So I stopped like watching Sons of Anarchy at, like season 5, and I stopped like buying them and caring about the buying the seasons.
Yeah.
And so I actually just finished Sons of Anarchy maybe 2-3 weeks ago on Netflix for the first time. Finally.
So,
my point is exactly what you're saying.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's. I mean, the ending. The one thing I will say that's kind of like interesting is the bum lady.
Right.
She's got away ending stuff just in case the audience.
Well, it's been enough time.
Yeah, and she has nothing to do with the show really, but. I just thought it was kind of cool that she's like in the first season, maybe in the first episode, like this female like bomb. And as it goes through, like it ends with her, and basically she is death. Like, and I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, at least like they had this little wrap with all it through because I didn't even know, but supposedly
it was based off of Hamlet.
Hamlet. I was gonna say off a Shakespeare play. Yep. I wasn't sure which one. So yeah. So,
well, Hamlet, or I said the first one that came to mind.
Okay, so I don't really know exactly because I just thought it was interesting that okay, at least they brought this one touch back into it of like okay, this is a wrap up through of like this lady's just been hovering around them. She is hovering as the Grim Reaper as death this whole time, and now finally this is what's happened.
Yeah.
So I thought that was like the one little thing that was cool. Other than that, though, everything is repetitive and over and over and over again shit.
And some of the shows that I love the most have that thing where it's like, God, the first like 2 or 3 or 4 seasons are just so fucking on point. And then because of the forced...
and the popularity of the shows...
The popularity. So they can't like take a year off, you know what I mean? They have to keep pumping it out. And that's what I really like about some animes that I watch is that the writer, they'll like go like 3-4 years without putting out another season. Because they're just like, fuck you, I'm not gonna fucking... Well, I guess
Well, they could be bored of it, too. They could have an honest thing like, listen, I've done like 300 episodes of this shit. I'm bored. Maybe I'll come back to it. Maybe I won't or whatever.
Well,
like, something else in the meantime.
I guess they're like pumping out the mangas, so that the book. They're pumping out the books.
I knew what that word meant. I don't think he did.
Well, just for our listeners, too. They're pumping out the book, so it's up to the, you know, the animation team or whatever.
Did you know that?
I thought it just meant lore, so I didn't know that.
Close enough.
I mean, yeah, basically.
I mean, I just know it because of, like, the podcast I listen to. Like, I thought it was lore.
And that's the same thing with the show I'm rewatching for, like, the 3rd or 4th time is Bleach. The first, like, 2 or 3...
Did you just finish that, though?
This was a while ago.
Yeah.
This is the one that has, like, 230 episodes, right?
Yeah, it's like 500 episodes.
Okay, whatever it is.
Yeah. So, anyways, the first like 2 or 3 seasons, it has a story arc and it ends and everything gets wrapped up neatly and then like and then something new has to happen. And especially with mangas, is that since they have to wait for the actual mangas to come out, that sometimes they just make up stories, you know, to like fill in the dead space.
And that's the part you hate.
And that's the part I hate, but also it just suffered from the effect of having the story ending and then having
to come up with a new. And they changed the voice actor, and you hated that guy.
Oh, yeah, the voice actor. Ah, that son of a bitch. Anyways.
So
shows are weird.
Yep. So another show stuff. I finished the last episode of Legion, that X-Men show, psychological thriller show. It's absolutely fantastic. Go watch it. It's only eight episodes. Like I said, you're just in for a ride. Just take it all in, and then... When you get to the end, then you can go online and go look up why reasons why. But it seems like Legion is... I've mentioned it last cast. He's like basically one of the most powerful mutants. He is the son of Professor X. Yeah, it's pretty. He's pretty gnarly. He could do it all. Yeah, Xavier. He could do it all. So, like they go through, like, it's not just like three superpowers. He has like whatever you can think of. Basically, is what he has. It's pretty gnarly. So, anyways, that was good. I started watching two episodes of Iron Fist, the Marvel show on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Got really bad reviews, or just pretty bad reviews.
It looks really bad.
And I watched two episodes, and I have to give it. You know, I have to give it a pass. Like, so far, it has me interested. I'm not bored with it. Some parts I'm like a little bit upset about. I think some of the fighting and stuff like that is like pretty bad. But overall, the story is keeping me in. I'm going to keep watching it. And there might be a point where
it's funny because I get bored. But Iron Fist, so he's like all this karate with strong punches and that. But the fighting is the worst part of the show.
Like, yeah, there's that's like, not right. His fighting is probably my biggest problem. He just doesn't like when you, it's one of those cases of the enemies go flying, but he didn't do anything really worthwhile. You know what I mean? It wasn't like it's the proper hit. He's the Iron Fist. So yeah, I'm going to give it a pass. Though
I like the point you made earlier. I was trying to throw you that fastball, that slow pitch for you to hit. Was you made the comment earlier that you feel like they hired him as the actor to portray the part correctly, but he's an actor who doesn't know how to fight. So like that's what's lacking in the shows. We were saying earlier.
Oh yeah, that's exactly it. They just hired an actor, and that's unfortunate because when hiring someone for a part like that, which I mentioned about Daredevil with you, the guy from Daredevil, whether or not he knew anything before he got hired, motherfucker knows how to fight now. And the dude does his, like, a lot of his own acting, or is a lot of his own, like, fight scenes and shit like that. And one of them, in, like, episode 2 or whatever, super long cut, like, 3 or 4 minutes, or whatever it is, could have been longer, I don't know, of just him fighting in this hallway with multiple people, multiple rooms, camera following him around. I'm like, this is excellent. You know, what do we say, Children of Men?
Yeah.
Long shots, a director that does that.
Oh, you're talking about Daredevil, that scene. In Daredevil. The hallway. Yeah, yeah. That fight is awesome.
And, like, you can tell
he's actually doing the fighting and actually getting exhausted.
He's getting winded. And
that
so
was
some
a great fight
some
scene.
Of the hits don't look very hard, but it's like, it's because it's real fucking time. Like, they're not editing it and making the camera cut for right when the punch is and make it look harder. Yeah. It's all real, you know, camera work. And then The Wire has some really long takes in it. That's really fucking cool. Long takes are awesome is the point of that.
I know, like we said earlier, you're more into the cinematography side of it. But yeah, when there's long takes and there's a lot going on, that's when it kind of doesn't like bring me out of the story. But kind of in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, that was a long.
You're
it
just
kind of,
thinking
it,
about
it.
It
makes
more
me
than the story.
Remember that I'm watching a movie.
Gotcha.
And like, oh, wow, that put a lot of time and effort into that scene. Like, well done.
Gotcha. You know?
Best, longest fight scene of all time. That movie, They Live.
You ever no seen idea what that is.
It's
the
a
fuck
it's
is
a
that?
B-rated horror movie that's fucking fantastic.
Probably a C-rated
that, you know,
horror
that,
movie.
That line that you hear sometimes where I came here to kick some ass and chew some bubblegum.
No, that's
and
not
I'm
that.
I'm all
that's
out of
bubblegum.
It's not a game. It's
that
movie.
Oh, is that? Oh, no. I have seen that one.
Yes.
That's with
the wrestler.
Kurt Russell. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not Kurt Russell.
No, not Kurt Russell?
The wrestler. There's a wrestler. Is it? Forget who it is, and I'll look it up. But it's a wrestler in the movie. It's not Kurt Russell.
Oh, I thought it was Kurt Russell. My bad.
It's where like, he puts his glasses
on. He puts his glasses
on.
Yeah, yeah.
Aliens and whatnot. But there's this fight scene between him and this huge black guy, and they're actually friends, but they're pissing each other in a moment. They fight in this alleyway, and it's literally 10 minutes long of them beating the fuck out of each other for 10 minutes straight.
Okay.
Until finally they get like, oh, are you done finally? And they stand up and like kind of put each other's arms on each other's backs. Like,
okay.
It's so ridiculous and over the top. This like literal 10 minute fight scene between two guys, and it's fucking dumb and amazing at the same time.
I was
time.
Thinking of Dead Alive or whatever that one is, or it's the comedy one, like the fucking B rated comedy.
Oh.
Remember like Scott Wood showed us. Do you remember that shit where it's like it's just totally like fucking Sharknado, but like a zombie flick. It's so over the top, and they have like a priest
that's,
come out and do like judo
what,
and shit like that. It's so stupid.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's
Dead Alive.
Yeah,
Dead Alive.
It's
so
the priest
stupid.
Does his flying jump kick.
Yeah, and I kick ass for the Lord.
Yes,
and then he flies around.
That's B-rated horror.
That's what I thought. Movie I thought you're talking about.
Yeah, it's
about.
The same genre. It's
oh
the same
God.
Style of movie. That's before the whole Sharknado.
They have like zombies having sex, and like the lady has like her throat slit, but it's like more than her throat. It's like most of her head. So her head keeps like knocking back on like the leftover skin, and every time she's getting like pounded in on top of like a fucking kitchen table, her head goes back and blood squirts out, and then it closes, and she's getting railed, and then she gets a zombie baby and has birth in like 30 minutes, and the zombie baby terrorizes her. It's so fucking stupid.
If you have not experienced B-rated horror yet, my God, go watch Frankenhooker, Street Trash, They Live, Reanimator. They're just some of the best classic things you can watch. They're like this horror gore that's this over the top quirky comediness just to it.
Go smoke a joint.
Yeah, dude.
Fucking, it's so fucking good.
Rent Monstered and fucking
Monstered,
Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead's Army of Darkness. Fucking beer horror is such a good genre. If you haven't experienced it, check it out.
If we haven't talked about Evil Dead, or not Evil Dead, I mean Monstered before though.
Monstered.
From out of the toilet and into your nightmare. That's the fucking line from the movie. That's like on the poster.
That
dude,
that fucking the intro or outro or the song or whatever,
yeah.
was my ringtone for the longest time.
Number two,
smells like poo.
That's gonna be the outro song to this, right?
If I can find it, dude.
Oh my god,
have you guys seen Reanimator or Reanimator 2?
No.
Oh, okay, so you don't even know my tattoos from that. The fucking this at one point, the doctor,
you showed me the scene from that.
Okay,
the needle in
his doctor, he ends up like having his head severed. He has his reanimation fucking juice in him, and that's the end of the first movie that ever. In the beginning of the second movie, his body catches this bat, cuts the wings off, surgically attaches them to his head, and then the climax of the second movie is this bat head with this army of bats flying at the fucking main character.
Just a head, yeah.
So it's his head with bat wings. It's fucking, it's great. The B-rated horror
fucking
genre
dumb.
Is amazing.
So dumb, so dumb. Okay, so anyways, Iron Fist, give it a pass. No big deal. Personal stuff. I haven't got a fucking job yet. I've been waiting every day, and like, there's nothing going on. So this last weekend I went to Disneyland with my chick's family, which they're all fucking awesome. And Disneyland is, I mean, I had a surprisingly good time. I don't go that often, and like, I was really enjoying myself.
Did you do Drunk Disneyland?
No.
Have you ever done that?
I've only done Drunk California Adventure.
Okay, so
yeah,
you just put vodka in a water bottle and then enjoy Disneyland. It's so much
fun. I will.
As an adult, it is the way to do Disneyland.
They sell 130 proof whiskey at California Adventure.
That's new.
That
I
don't
really used to do that.
They did it 5 years ago, and I drank it.
Okay, well, I don't know.
They have it like the wine bar. They have a bar upstairs that I was like, all right, what do you guys got? And they showed me all this weird shit, and they're like, it's like $32 for a double, and I'm like, well, it's 130 proof. I could give a shit about the money right now. Like, so I had a double of it, and I was like, this is, even, I don't care how good it is, it's fucking rubbing alcohol at that point. So it kicked me back, dude. I was having a good one. So I did that. And then final thing I wanted to say is that the Xbox Scorpio, the new Xbox console. They had like the PlayStation
Haven't
Pro.
Haven't they renamed it so it's not going to be Scorpio, I don't believe.
Well, no, that's exactly. That's just the name, the code name.
Yeah.
So they always have code names for stuff that isn't that. So they always have, like, Blue Harvest for fucking Star Wars. You know, there's always a name for shit. So I just wanted to mention a couple things that we don't know the price yet, and we don't know when it's coming out, except for that it's coming out this year sometime, like later on in the fall or whatever. But
really?
It is, yeah. And
when
it,
did the One come out?
Last year, same time.
Like Xbox One?
Xbox One.
Well,
you mean the Xbox One S you're talking about. The One S came out. Like
so is Scorpio the X? Is that a whole new console or just the improved?
It'd be equivalent of a PS5.
No, it's not.
No, it's not?
No, it's an improvement.
Oh,
okay.
Really?
So,
I didn't know. I thought it was a whole like new system.
It's it meets in the middle, right? It's like fucking Xbox 1.5.
So it's like the new Nintendo 3DS.
Yeah, kind of like that.
So
okay.
it can play new shit that the old one can't, but it can still play.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
But they're not... Okay, so let me get a couple things straight. That they're going to have... Every game that's available on the Scorpio will be available on the Xbox One.
Okay.
They're not doing actually exclusives on it. They're doing exclusive technology, though. So, like, the performance of this is actually... I'm reading,
so you can
whatever.
Play 4K TVs probably and shit?
So, yeah, it's better than the video card I have in my fucking computer. I was like, oh, in most ways, not every way. But, I mean, I have a GTX 1070, and I'm like, it's a pretty good fucking card. But this has some improved stuff. So it can do 4K natively, and it can run at 60 frames a second at 4K, supposedly, which is, like, already fucking insane. Like, that already is, like, kind of blowing me away. And they had some specs on it. You can look online.
I do remember watching a video on this, and, like, the video card itself is, like, super expensive. So that's just the video card, and then go from there. So, like, I forget the price point they were saying is going to be, like,
They don't
plan
have a price
on,
point.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, the video I watched talked about the video card itself was like almost $1,000, and that doesn't include anything else. And so, like, they're gonna, but they said that the price point they're planning on being around like $800. I think they said
it's at least $500 for sure. Like, but the thing is,
okay, so
consoles never make money unless they're made by Nintendo. So when the PlayStation 3 came out, it was selling for $600. You know, in 2006 or whenever it came out, 2007, whenever it came out, that cost Sony like $700 and something to make one console that they were selling for $600, even though people were like, what the fuck, $600 is so much. Same thing with Xbox. It's always how it is until you get farther into the cycle, and then they can start making the parts for cheap and whatever else. So then there will be a cutting off point, maybe 3 years after a console comes out, where now they make money off of the console. But they don't do that. They make all their money off of everything else they sell. They own the Microsoft Store or the PlayStation Store or whatever. Yeah. They make all their fucking money back, and tons of it, through shit like that. Where Nintendo is the one that is able to sell at like a normal retail thing, where it'll cost... So the new Nintendo Switch is $300. It supposedly cost about $250 to make that console, which is actually kind of close after like when you get like shipping and all that stuff involved and like retail, yeah. You know, putting it on a shelf kind of stuff. Then it's not much of a profit. But the other end of the spectrum is that Xbox and PlayStation, all that stuff, are, you know, they would be making it for $350, selling it for $300 in that case. Mm-hmm. And people at home could be like, no, that's not the case. You know, that's fine. I'm just repeating what I've heard for the past 10 years from every, you know, news site I go to. So. Anyways, it seems so
basically,
like it
has you're wrong.
Exactly. Could be wrong. So, but it has, when you look at like the specs, I mean, everything is like, you know, double. It looks like double or triple of what an Xbox One can do, basically. So all the numbers are like really, really high. Let's say like a number they have like the teraflops, okay? Let's just call it, it's a made up thing. Who gives a shit, right?
Yeah.
How many times the processing and all that stuff can like do it in a second, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
Blah, blah, blah.
The Xbox One is 1.2. This one is 6. So, like, whatever those numbers mean doesn't really matter. All you need to know is that it goes up, you know, times 4, basically, is the performance of it. So, after all things said and done, it's, like, 4 times the performance of an Xbox One. Which, an Xbox One can already do a whole bunch of shit. So, yeah. This is not the new console, though. This is not the Xbox fucking 2. You know what I mean? It's not going to be... exclusive games that everyone has to buy a new system and buy new controllers and all this shit for.
Well, good. So. I'm happy to hear that part of it.
Are games even reaching the full potential of the Xbox
yes.
One?
Yes. Yeah, okay. They are. So, like, for an example, me playing even Mass Effect Andromeda or whatever, that is 30 frames a second locked because it can't handle 60 mm-hmm. on the Xbox One, but I can do 60 plus on my computer. Gotcha. Same thing with Forza Horizon. It's 30 frames a second locked, 1080p. I can do 1080p at 77 frames per second, so more than double. And that's just with my, you know, I have like a good computer, but not a great computer.
Right.
So yeah, there it is hitting max of that. The PlayStation 4 Pro is probably more along the lines of like where things are at right now. But there's one big but, and that's VR. VR just gets everything that we know and doubles it because it's going to be 1080p per eye. And right, so now you just got whatever numbers you're thinking of and just have to do times two. So even though we might be reaching, you know, only just reaching the max of a PlayStation Pro, it doesn't matter because now VR is going to be a thing. And so now it's just everything has to be double that.
I mean,
just like that.
I hate to go back to the VR conversation, but I feel like it just what has really happened in the past, in the past like year with VR, like porn.
Well, I've watched some porn. Like, it's been fucking fantastic.
But I mean, like, video game-wise, like...
They have, on the PC, they enable, like, on Steam and shit like that,
uh-huh.
games that we play normally
right.
are now, they're available in VR. So, like, if you wanted to play Resident Evil 7,
yeah.
that can also be
that's
played in VR.
Fucking scary.
It would be, right? So that's...
nope.
Yeah,
I'm
right?
good.
Me too. I'm kind of feeling
not
the
same a thing.
Way.
I was scared with Resident
nope.
Evil 2.
Yeah.
Okay, so
peeking around that fucking corner, a zombie being right there, scary as
okay,
shit.
Okay, so let me just get this straight. So you put the headset on, but you still have the controller, and when you look around, it's not
the controller. It probably you can do that, but it's two controllers, like handheld.
Okay,
like, you know what I mean. So those most likely will be able to, like, you'd be able to reach out and do extra things that you wouldn't be able to do with just the controller because now you're in a 3D world. You know what I mean? So there might be some elements that might be just kind of like you're holding the controller, but in two handheld devices. Or there will be added stuff where if you're able to aim a gun in Resident Evil, you just aim it with like the wand, not with just holding the controller and using the joysticks.
So you're saying for specific games, they've added VR capabilities?
Yeah, not just watching it through the headset, but also changing the way you play the game.
Okay.
And now I'm not too sure on the specifics as far as what games are doing what and how far it's gone, but
right.
I do know that there's a ton of VR support for that way. There's also like subscription services now where you pay like $7 a month and you can get like 5 games to play a month, and it's not like yours to keep. It's just like
right,
you can
right.
play it. It's kind of like, you know, like Redboxing or yeah. whatever, game flying. You can keep them in the meantime, and then you can get rid of one, and then you can download a new one, and then. But most of those games are what we were talking about a year ago, that they're more like demos,
right?
You know, but I'm sure that. even though you can't get the longevity out of it that you can get out of a console game, you know, not at least not yet, I'm sure that all the little demos that they have can keep you more than occupied. You know what I mean? If you really had the access to 50 different games to play, play each one for 2 or 3 hours, that's a lot of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though it's not a full experience.
Yeah. I'm still just not sold on it because, I mean, it just sounds like they're adding little bits, which is a step in the right direction for VR, where they're kind of adding little add-ons here and there. Oh, you can reach out and pull this lever, like whatever, for certain games.
But the big asterisk on that is that none of us have played. You know,
that, that is 100%
that's the biggest
true.
Thing is that when we play, we can be like, whoop, I am wrong. Or we could be like, yeah, this kind of like close the
Jace
book
is wrong.
Yeah. Well, I haven't played
Sauce
so,
is wrong.
I'm always wrong. You guys
well,
know.
You have the VR and you've only watched porn on it?
Well, because that's the fucking, no, it's only the phone
VR.
Yeah,
that's a total
I don't have
thing.
The real VR. I don't have the fucking HTC Vive. That's $800.
It's basically you put it on your fucking head. It's just a little too little, like... Little windows you put on your
doesn't
head.
Doesn't even look that good, bro.
Your phone moves around, yeah. It's...
But it does do the 3D effect. So the girl's really on top of me. Like, it's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet, let me be honest.
You seen the new VR thing with it? There's a one that's a Japanese, obviously a Japanese fucking thing.
Okay, if you're thinking about the one, there's one in America. But okay, go on.
Well, I know, but the video that this is from, this, mm-hmm. it always starts with technology type things like this, always start in Japan, then come around over here. So this fucking dude, he's in like this white suit, and he has like the full VR headset on, earplugs on, and with the VR, attached to it is a fucking a fleshlight, basically.
Yeah.
So, but it has like a robot arm. So while he's laying back in the video, the girl is riding him. Now this fucking thing is attached with the motor, so it's going up and down, and the fleshlight on his dick. So he's just laying back getting fucked by this girl in VR. Well, this fleshlight's fucking up.
They have that in America by an American company.
Okay, well, whatever. I'm just telling.
No, I know. I'm expanding on what you're saying that. The one that they have here is like, yeah, you have like little thing you can remove to clean it out. You know what I mean? So it's not like it just stuck in a fucking thing forever. Some little sleeve, whatever. And then my understanding is it has like little kind of like the massage rollers you'd have like in a chair. And the actress can be like holding like a little remote. And whenever she does something, she can like be moving the remote in the same like motion. So it'll tell the device what to do. At the same time she's doing it.
The one I saw was like, it was a... Well,
this is live, by the way. This is not recorded. This is not recorded.
Yeah, so that we probably saw the same one. That's weird. So the
look Jack off, dude. Look me in the eyes and tell me.
Yeah. So the chick had like a dildo, and whatever she did to the dildo, or like vibrator or whatever it was, it did on the inside of the fleshlight, like you said,
exactly.
With the rollers or whatever. So it was super weird because they were interviewing this guy, and then they like... put a fucking like mask on him, and then they put the thing on his dick, and then so he was just like a test subject with this like film crew around him, while this chick on the other side of the world's like just jacking off a dildo, and so it's really fucking weird.
That's pretty awesome. No, I heard an interview podcast with they interviewed a porn star that's like she's like the leader in VR right now, I guess, like her company is all based on VR,
yeah.
That she has whatever, like she has a partner, some dude that fucking. Probably does all the smart stuff, but still.
Is this, Lily Lobo?
I have no idea the name. Not a fucking clue.
She's blonde?
I have no fucking clue. It's a podcast, homie. I have
okay.
no idea.
I didn't hear the
like.
Podcast part.
Does she sound blonde?
No, she doesn't. She sounds smart, so that's the scary part. They're going to take over the world, dude.
A smart woman who knows how to suck dick real
that's
good.
True. They're taking over the world. Yeah. They get whatever they want. They're, yeah. We're all afraid of Donald Trump up to this point, but now. Fucking. super hot bitches that know how to fuck and that are smart, that's the end of the world, dude, right there. End of the fucking world. So
God. That's why we gotta pay them less so they don't rise up and take over.
So you see,
we're like this, yeah, because they're like this close to
we're hitting all
over.
The fucking yeah all the I can't even talk right now,
we're making fun of everybody. Yeah.
I'll say all the fucking key points, you know, all the meta shit in our world right now, we're hitting all it
triggered.
So my week's been pretty cool. Are you done?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so nothing much to talk about my week except that I talked about last week that I bought the South Park Stick of Truth
yeah,
on Steam. And I've been playing it, and I finally beat it. But there came a point probably, I don't even know, like
careful, bro.
3/4 of the way through the game, maybe a little bit more. Where I was like, okay, I'm ready for this game to be over. Where it was
that's happened to me. I didn't finish the game because of that.
It was a good game, and like Hot Sauce said, there's certain games where you get the main story quests or mission, and then a bunch of side missions pop up. I always do the same thing, or I got to go finish all the side missions first before I do the main mission. And I did that all the way up until a certain point in South Park where I was like, okay.
Where was your turnover point?
Fuck, it was like once the homeboy took the stick.
I think mine was when they turned into zombies. That was my turning point of stopping really playing the game. I played a couple more hours after that, but I was kind of like, I kind of hit the wall.
Yeah, mine was when they had to band together because the other guy took the stick and they had to like fight against him and whatever. So I was just like, I mean, it's still funny, but I was just over it.
Well, the game's kind of long too.
Yeah, it is for that type of narrow game.
Yeah, because it's an RPG, so there's that aspect to it, but it's also a very basic RPG.
Oh, it's like when you find something that's higher level, you're like, we just put that on. Like, we don't even have favorites at this point. You just literally wear whatever the fuck's the highest level. That's the way I saw it. I mean, there could be favorites, but otherwise, I'm just like, nah, this is it.
I just felt like a lot of the stuff, like the, increases the gross out factor, like whatever, and it's like, most of that stuff doesn't really matter because, at least in my eyes, like the doing the fire damage was like the most effective thing. So I just everything plus fire damage. So even if something had like maybe better stats, I just knew that like fire would be better.
The game
was
also not hard.
Yeah, it's not very hard at all. Yeah. So I mean, it was.
That's why at that point where I lost my boner for, because there was a lot of fun things happening, but I was like, okay, well now I feel like at this point it needs to depend on gameplay, and the gameplay isn't strong enough.
Yeah, so it was more than worth the $7.50 I spent on it, and I'm glad I finished it.
It still feels good to beat it, though, right? Yeah, when you get done, you're like, yes.
And
done.
I still had some chuckles, you know, like playing the game. Even parts I've already seen, I just like.
I liked the last 10 minutes of it. I thought that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that was good too. I mean, fucking Kenny kept on coming back. The fourth time he came back, I was just like, God damn it, dude! And there's just like all those scenes with the Jimmy where he keeps like stuttering. I never skipped. I just always watched the entire thing of him trying to pronounce the word.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a very good impression. That was spot on. But
so there was like the button would show up on the screen like press B to skip. I'm like, no, I'm watching all 3 minutes and 40 seconds.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Yeah, that was. So anyways, I finished it. I recommend it, but it's not like top 10 games of all time. It definitely, the entertainment factor was much higher than any other factor
still
in the game.
Still funniest game of all time, right? Regardless of being whatever.
Yeah. I mean
there's not many funny games out there.
Conker's Bad Fur Day was more of we were 13.
Yeah.
And it was shocking because no other game had done that.
It was the first R-rated game.
Like I said, though, I just played it last year, and I was like, this is really funny still. I was really enjoying it.
Yeah, it's still pretty good.
But yeah, this is just funnier.
Oh God, I'm trying to think of
that's the name of the episode.
By the way, I found the song, the outro.
Oh, did you for fucking Pooh Man?
Yep, the Pooh Man.
Sweet. What's it called?
It's called The Ballad of Number 2.
Ah, very good.
End of the episode song?
Yes.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's
what you're giggling about over there.
Yeah, that's what.
Gotcha.
I was giggling. This whole episode, I've been giggling because I just have like horrible, horrible jokes. When you guys were talking about
the Suicide Show,
no, I was gonna talk about Ben Affleck. When you guys were talking about whatever superhero he played, you know, you were talking about the series, but I wanted to talk about Ben.
Didn't
Affleck.
Didn't he play Daredevil?
Yeah, Daredevil. I wanted to bring that up, but I was like, you know what? Just stop.
We're having a good time. I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah.
What about Elektra? That was a good movie.
Just stop. Everyone settled.
Who's Elektra?
Elektra is Elektra? Is a what's
no,
her
but
name?
What's who's the actress that played her?
Jennifer Garner.
Oh yeah, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, she's not even hot. That's unfortunate. Yeah. Bummer.
She's like a poor man's Hillary Swank.
She's poor man's Hillary Swank. Every actress is a poor man's Hillary Swank, bro. Come on.
Okay, what was that movie she was in, Boys or something, where she played like the transgender or whatever?
We put her on the scene. Yeah. Some,
so I okay. This is really.
I think you're thinking of kids.
This is really random. But the first Playboy I had ever like read you know, front to back.
Read? You actually read those?
Oh, well, I absolutely read the shit out of them when I was a kid.
After you jerk off, you're just like,
well, I can read the jokes were fucking hilarious. I read the jokes.
No, but like even like there's some like kind of like sexy stories in there. And when you're like 11, you're like, this is crazy. I've never read something.
I just kept jacking onto the pictures.
Oh, come on, dude. What's your recharge time? Like 40 seconds? Come on.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Good for you. Ours is not.
Well, mine was, but anyways,
you just wanted some storyline to your masturbation.
Yeah, I mean, no.
Like, do you like porns that actually have storylines to them?
I'm not talking about like I read stop. While this I'm is... jerking. I like jerk, and then like when I turn back into a normal person, I'm reading the articles.
Dr. Jekyll was behind, like literally the wolf and all that shit. Like goes, you can see like the silhouette on the wall. It transformed back down.
Yeah. The moon naked, goes behind the clouds.
Naked, clammy man. Yeah.
Yeah, all balled up, fetal position, just like, and it happened again.
All the clothes are ripped, and she's like,
I was trying to help, but I was laughing. I came out like that.
It's like Mankind and Sako, you know? Anyways.
Wrestling joke.
So, yeah, decided to throw it in there. So I had read that story. There was like a big, like 5-6, 20-page fucking story about that. About that thing.
Hitler spanking him in the balls.
I don't even
movie.
Care anymore. I'm like,
I'm tired of my own story.
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde was way funnier than anything I'm going to say. Anyways. So.
Wait, we're going to get the end of the story now?
Who cares?
I don't remember why I brought it up.
Doesn't matter.
The sickness is taking over.
Go watch Kids. That's my answer to that.
So.
Hey, did you know there's a Trainspotting 2 coming out?
Yep.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Trainspotting was... disappointed in that. What's that? Oh, you just wanted it to be one?
Well, like, SLC Punk. Great movie, right, Corey? You enjoyed that night?
Yeah, great.
Well, I saw it, too. Don't fucking look at him.
No, but...
Oh, man. We're going to do this now, huh?
You're like the Jason... Jason Segel of SLC Punk, which is great, but you're not that cool. So it doesn't work.
You don't... If I'm not cool, I'm the punkest person here. The end of story. Moving on. What's up?
Anyway, SLC Punk 2 was garbage. Fucking abomination of a movie. Super bad. So Trainspotting 2, who knows? Maybe it'll be good. But a movie like that, that's such a good cult classic, and Trainspotting, you don't need to remake that. Just like SLC Punk, you don't not remake or make another story of it. But SLC Punk should have left alone. Number 2 was garbage. I don't have high hopes for Trainspotting 2.
Well, we've already touched on this in past episodes. Hollywood's just reaching for straws. Anything they can remake or make a sequel to, they're going to. And it's like, okay, there's a certain date where you're past your prime of making a sequel. So like the
Independence Day 2 and they don't even release it on Independence Day?
That's messed up.
Oh my God, how retarded can you be?
Or the true Dumb and Dumber sequel.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Not the
Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
The actual sequel with the real actors.
Look, that there was some funny stuff in the prequel one. Let me take that back. There was one funny thing in the prequel
one. Poop?
Yes.
On the ceiling?
With Bob Saget and there's shit everywhere. It's on top of the lights. I'm not even mad. I'm just impressed.
Yeah, I'm not.
No, nope, not in that part.
I
enjoyed that part.
I never finished that movie. It pissed me off so much.
It was like in the middle. That's the one good part.
So anyways, yeah, and that's just what they're trying to do with Trainspotting. That's what they did with SLC Punk. It's like, hey, the people who like grew up watching that shit, now they're like directors and filmmakers, and they're like, well, I can't think of anything good to do. Let's do that one thing that seemed really cool when we were 14.
You know what, though? I want to see Power Rangers more than I want to be here right now. So, like, Power Rangers, that talk about remakes, I want to have Pink Ranger in my mouth right now.
Which one is Pink Ranger?
Doesn't matter.
No, like the new one. Is she hot?
Doesn't matter. I don't know. Who cares?
I'm just going to like picture Kimberly. And I don't know who the new pink one is, but Kimberly, the original Pink Ranger, is amazing.
Are they going to like film some ugly, frumpy bitch? No, they're not.
No, of course not.
She's going to be gorgeous, I'm sure. Probably.
But now like the Asian girl who's supposed to be Yellow Ranger is like probably the Black Ranger now. Because of, you know, triggering.
All I know is I want to see it real bad. I've heard that it's like so bad it's good. Like it just holds true to like being over the top. And
if that's the case, then that's a good sign.
And campy and shit like that. It's not like a... It's not even like a modern version of it, basically. It's just like...
Good. Because if they made it a Michael Bay Transformer style, it'd be fucking complete horrible.
No, I heard it's like super
bad. It needs
bad,
to be bad and over good. The top.
Yeah. Bad but good.
Otherwise, there's no chance it's good.
So what it said, like, it's like the worst movie you were happy watching.
That's a good...
Like
okay,
you know,
that
like, that's
good
the rating of it, basically.
Like I said, you came in here all excited about seeing it now.
Oh, I'm super excited.
I'm down to see it. Like, I kind of planned on waiting until... Came out of theaters, but I'm down to go see it.
We don't need
it.
To talk about spoilers. Let's just get the fuck out of here.
Go watch Power Rangers.
Go Power Rangers.
So Amy Jo Johnson was the Pink Ranger, and she was in.
Trading cards of her.
She was in Saved by the Bell, the new class. If you remember that,
I remember. I watched it because of her.
I do remember the college years of Saved by the Bell. Those were all right. Anyways,
that was like college years of Boy Meets World. Remember that? Do you remember those ones?
I don't remember. I was never a big Boy Meets World fan.
No, really?
Yeah. I mean, it was always on. I didn't hate it. It's not like Blossom, you know?
Dawson's Creek.
Here's the new chick. I think it's her.
She's not even blonde, but she's hot.
Well, who cares? Looks good. Looks young. Looks good, though.
Well, moving on.
She might be fucking 30. You don't know. She might be 16, bro. You never know.
You never know.
Always card. Or you just don't do it, guys.
Fake IDs are a thing. Watch out.
So, magic stuff happened, and the most magical of all stuff is spoilers. And we talked about last cast. We're going to talk about this cast.
But first
let's talk about next cast.
We have a rules change from the Fuse split cards of yesteryear, talking about how there were tricks with, like, bringing the jar, and with what else was there? There was, the fucking... The 4/4 for 5 that you can cast instant sorcery for free, whatever, from
Origins. So basically there's ways to cheat out certain cards, and with the Fuse cards it would take the leftmost or just the lowest casting cost.
I think just the lowest casting cost, yeah.
And you were able to like cheat out the whole fucking card.
It was like you were able to just choose one, but then
so it was how you cast it. Along saying that is that like say there was Beck Call and Beck was 2 converted mana cost and Call was 6 converted mana cost. In your hand, that wasn't an 8-mana spell. It was able to be... It's like 2 different cards. Like, you were able to choose that it was a 2-mana spell, and that was pretty much it. So you were able to cast something for 2 mana.
Make 4 birds, draw 4
and then
cards.
You'd be able to cast both parts of the card with that. So you've probably already seen it, but basically what I'm saying is that it wasn't classified as this is an 8-mana spell in your hand. But now it is. Now it's just... Now. You get the combined mana cost, and that's just it. So now even in, like... Tiny Leaders format that nobody knows about. They have that the one that kills enchantments and artifacts.
Yes, so
and that one is still good because it's a 2-mana and a 1-mana.
Right.
But in when I first put it in, it's just like, oh well, both of them are under 3. So even if it was 3 and 3, I'd be like, yeah, it's legal for Tiny Leaders.
Yep.
But now it's not. Now it would be if it was 3 and 3, it'd be a 6-mana
spell.
So
for like
not
the
legal.
Mill one, which was breaking and entering, I want to say.
Yeah.
So the mill side is just blue and a black, and then the other side is like 6-mana
or
something
exactly.
like that. So if someone were to be using that Tiny Leaders, no mas.
Yeah, basically that.
And
so,
the reason
I
did that is because of like the expertises and the new split cards that are coming.
Exactly. Expertises was the other one I was kind of thinking of too, yeah. Besides the 4/4 menace dude. Expertises were able to just cast that motherfucker and then you get total value. And it's bad for new players. Like, it's just ruling that you have to kind of go, like, just trust me, this is how it works.
Yeah,
it's not very well
explained. It's hard to understand why it would be that way. And so, like, yeah, honestly, this sucks with people who are, like, excited about, like, the cheating and tricking ways of doing these weird combo decks or doing the Beck Call decks or whatever, hoping to, you know, cheat things in. But it clears up the fucking language for everybody, and especially for new players, and it just cleans it up. It's kind of how they did with Madness. How they clean that, right? So when you discard. Yeah. So in Madness before, and they never explained where the card actually went. Did it go to the graveyard, go to exile, or went to its own zone? Pretty much went to its own zone before. Now the Madness actually goes to the graveyard, and then you cast it for its mana cost.
Okay, okay.
Gotcha. That's what that rule chain was.
Gotcha.
Now this is another rules update to make things more clear and solidify this, and so people can stop cheating brain and
I think
cards
we can all agree here that, yeah, we really liked the idea of something wacky happening, and like, you know, whenever you can do powerful stuff for cheap, it's cool, but this is still better. To have it just where the rules are clearer and everything is just, you know, easier for new players and just even for us just makes more sense rather than like, oh, is that how that works? Cool. And you just accept that. It's more like you can understand the rules, how they're meant to be understood. You know
it's
what I
just,
mean?
It's people were getting all butthurt about it, but if you sit down and think about it, it just makes it so you're not, no more unfair magic things happen. Like it just cleans up the rules. It cleans up the rulings and it's better for the game for it to
better
be
better like for this. The game. I've better. Always said that.
Better.
Better for the game. My father said that. Better for the game. Got to do it.
It's actually on the Declaration of Independence.
It is.
Better for the game. So, spoiler. Do everything else to talk about before spoilers?
No, get on to the spoilers. Oh my god. Get on there. We are the spoiler cast. Because Blizzard just doesn't fucking stop. That's it. They just don't stop, homie.
Can't stop, won't stop.
And get so it, get it. We got. So what is it today? Today is Thursday, the 7th? 6th. April 6th. So when this comes out, you can kind of tell where we're at. I'm going to look at mythicspoiler.com under newest spoilers.
So we're going to go over starting at
the bottom,
date.
Right? Yep. With the release dates, which would start at after the invention or the invocations.
So last we talked was March 30th. That's where we got the prowling superpowered.
Yeah. Sensor. We did talk about
so
those
I don't
three.
Believe we talked about the new land cycle.
Did
yet.
Not talk about the new lands.
So ooh. We're on March 31st on Mythic Spoiler.
Follow along at home, kiddies. Follow along. Get out your phones and your laptops and your that dial-up internet a-boosting.
So our rare land cycle this time are dual lands, you know, gate-type lands. They come in tapped. But you can have, they also all have cycling for two on there, or you discard it and draw a card for two mana.
Yeah, pay two generic, discard this card, draw a card. Instant speed.
So the reason these cards are at rare, because they're not by any means overpowered or anything like that. We've had lands that cycle themselves before. The reason I feel like they're at rare is because they're fetchable. Because, say, Fetid Pools is taps for blue and a black, but now the land type says island and swamp.
So you're right on the nose with that because they announced, they said in like one of the mothership bullshits, whatever the fuck it is, that they wanted to make cycling dual lands, you know, instead of just the ones that they had previously that would be like for, it's a, the only taps for a white and you can cycle it for whatever the fuck. So now they wanted to make something that's dual land and they said, well, it's not rare quality enough while just being a dual land. That cycles for two. We need to do something else. So they're like, okay, we're going to go ahead and add the basic land text onto it, and now we can make it rare. Like they said that their plan was this, but they just needed to do something, so they all just decided, yeah, just add this, and now it's fucking rare. Boom, done.
So I'm not even mad about this at all. I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate it's at rare because it's not super powerful, but I love the more lands you can get that, you know, that are fetchable, the better. Like it's just, it's better for commander, it's better for everything. Just fetchable lands that have that basic land type in their name like that, or the land types, or it's just a good thing to have.
So I want to say, before we get into if there's a more discussion about it, that is good for a couple reasons. First of all, kind of like how the Battlelands are in Modern or something like that, basically Modern, that there's not going to be a lot of them in there, but there will be probably one copy in a lot of decks that you see. There's going to be like one copy of Battleland, which is the what has the basic land text on it, but it comes in tapped unless you have two basics on the battlefield. So this is good. It's good for that time that you have two basics out and you don't have to shock yourself. Now you can go and pull the one land that you need. It comes out untapped and you're all good. But you don't put a bunch in there because it's obviously not reliable like a shock land is. This runs in the same way, and it kind of reminds me of Horizon Canopy, where later on in the game, you draw a fetch land and you're like, okay, I don't need any more lands. This is a dead card. Well, now I know I have one or whatever of these cycling lands. You can go ahead and... Oh, no, this doesn't work for that way. Hold on a second. What other way? Oh, my God. I'm trying to think of the way that you can get this thing to... Oh, I'm sorry. These kind of lands, you can go ahead and get this land, and then there's a way to bounce it back to your hand, and then you can just cycle it from there. If there's a way to bounce lands back to your hand, that's
before,
what I want to get to.
Past the overcomplication of you bouncing
your
lands.
We can
just
fucking edit that
you
out. I messed that up.
To clean that up for you, past having to do all this extra shit of how to bounce to your hand, say it's late game, you got enough lands in your hand, you don't need any more lands, now you're drawing this card, you need some action. Now you draw this land and go, well, okay, well now at least I can pay two mana and cycle this to draw a different card. Again, like you said, it's not going to see tons of play. Maybe it sees zero play modern, but I bet you'll see a one of in multiple.
Yeah, I was just wrong. I was thinking of something completely different.
Late game, and you don't need that extra land, and you just wish you need to draw something else, and you have this extra mana, and you got to do something. You know, control decks, whatever, to be able to cycle this and draw a different card and cantrip is just better.
It's
than
the opposite of like a fast land. This is not good early, but it's super good late when you just don't give a fuck about lands anymore.
And also, I mean, I don't even see this being viable, but you could. It does have a little bit of synergy with the reveal lands. You know, this comes into play tapped unless you reveal. Yeah, for standard, comes into play tapped unless you reveal forest or plains. Yeah. Now you can reveal it.
Totally good.
You know, so if you were trying to do like a lot of multicolored, three color, four color deck or whatever.
So I was
that's a good point. Valid.
The reason I kind of brought this my mistake up is that there was a new card to talk about, which is we have some gods or whatever. And one of the gods, just to kind of skip ahead, is that it has an ability on it where you can draw a card, then you may return a land you control to its owner's hand. If you're playing this in the deck, then you're able to bounce a land back to your hand, and if you don't need any more mana, then that gives you even more card advantage because then you can cycle that land that is no good to you on the battlefield anymore.
Yeah,
there's ways to get it back to your hand, and if you do... Even like Life from the Loam style decks, you know what I mean? You, this thing's in your graveyard, you can go ahead and put it back into your hand, and then you can cycle it. That's the whole point. I'm sorry, I was wrong, but
yeah,
bring it back to your hand.
It's going to be really good for that control deck with that Blue God that we're going to get into, you know, because for the ability it has to have. Like, it will be very good for that situation, for a control deck, you know, that kind of deal.
Yeah. So, anything else to say about that? They're cool, though. I mean, they're not going to be expensive. They're probably going to be like Scryland prices, where if one sees a shit ton of play, then it'll probably be like $9, but the rest of them will probably be two, you know, $3. I think they're pre-ordering right now for like $9, but I don't think that's just
pre-order bullshit. Holy fuck, no.
That's just pre-order bullshit, so don't worry about that crap.
Don't buy those lands at that price.
No,
don't do that.
So we don't have to go through every card, because there are a lot spoiled, but we can go through some key ones. You want to start off with this April 3rd?
So I'm kind of excited about... Because it's a card that's the cycle of cards. I like cycle. Almost every set they make a cycle of whatever for every color, and you know depending on what they are, I like getting into, especially with like an enchantment type thing. So there's gonna be trial enchantments that basically have whatever this and this, and then when you happen to play a cartouche, which is each color has a cartouche of like solidarity, it's for one white, it's an enchantment or a cartouche. Is that the word?
Cartouche, I think is what it is. But yeah,
and it's a new creature you control. Enchant creature you control. When this enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 white warrior token with vigilance, and enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has first strike. Well, to go along with that, we have some trial enchantments. So this one, Trial of Knowledge, for 3 and a blue enchantment. When Trial of Knowledge enters the battlefield, draw 3 cards and discard a card.
Pretty good. I like that already. Yeah. 4 mana, like, that's fine.
When a cartouche enters the battlefield under your control, return the trial to your hand.
So you get to go ahead and use this draw, discard ability over and over again.
The different trials are going to have different effects. And I like, you know, who knows if the cartouche is replayable, but to have that chance for a deck where you're doing that synergy of built in.
Oh, it'll be sweet for limited, though. Hand.
Yeah,
limited will be super sweet.
And things like that. But Trial of Knowledge with whatever cartouche may be, like, that could easily be viable in a command, in a control deck, excuse me, because of that card draw with it. And then to continue recur that card draw with the other cartouche.
Yeah, this is kind of just like even in Modern Masters 2017, where we have, like, the blue-white bounce stuff. And so you start getting these cards that have these enter the battlefield effects, and then late game you're like, oh, dude, I got to get some flicker effects. Like, this is what's going to make it awesome. And so you can have the same thing. Trial of Knowledge would be a good pickup, but then it's like, oh, dude, now late game, nobody gives a shit about this cartouche of solidarity. I'm going to pick that thing up, and it's totally going to have synergy with this Trial of Knowledge. Like, that's going to be a great late pickup, you know, common level bullshit for limited.
That's the type of card I like to, like, the styles like that are the type of things I like to build around. Like, I've noticed that enchantments are one of my go-tos for build-around types of cards. I enjoy enchantments. So this type of thing, like going into it, going forward with the other enchantments we're going to get, the other cartouches, is something I'm going to want to look into for build-arounds personally.
Yeah. Knife, you got something? You've been awfully quiet over there.
I can't wait for me to listen to other podcasts or things and then hear people say, oh, the...
cartouches,
and then all the different people trying to pronounce it.
Yeah,
I'm glad you went for it first because I don't fucking.
Believe it's cartouche.
Cartouche. I mean,
like douche with the car in front of
it. It's like
cartouche.
I mean,
new word cartouche.
So there's nothing I'm too excited about, but just
stick to April 3rd right now.
That's
you, jerk face.
Hey, mom, settle down. I'll bring
Don't be a hot sauce.
I'll bring my fucking coat with me outside so I don't get a cold.
Don't be a hot sauce.
So what I was going to talk about before Aunt B fucking interrupted,
be one with hot sauce.
Fucking don't go out with wet hair.
Hey, leave my bonnet alone.
So I was going to mention the god, Hazoret.
That's a Z, not a T.
Fervent.
Hazoret the Fervent.
Or if you look at the masquerades, Hazoret the Pervert.
Yeah,
Herbert the Pervert. That's it. Herbert the Pervert for fucking 3 and a red.
So this is going to be a cycle because it's a legendary creature god for 3 and a red. It's a 5/4, indestructible. It has haste, but it can't attack or block unless you have one or fewer cards in hand. There's an activated ability. Pay 2 and a red. Discard a card. It deals 2 damage to each opponent.
So these are like, they're all going to be like the other gods, but rather than being devotion, which all the other ones were just like, if it was monocolor, you needed 5 pips in the battlefield of that color, and if it was the dual-colored ones, then it would need 7 pips, just, you know, 3 of one, 4 of the other, whatever combination to make those things go from enchantments to creatures. Now, these are creatures the whole time, but they just can't do anything like a creature does
Part of the reason they made them just creatures was to lessen the confusion for in your hand and what zones they were in if they're creatures.
Okay, yeah, I've heard that. That makes sense though, because
It is the enchantment creature thing of being in your hand, and then in your hand it's a creature or whatnot, and then on the field it's enchantment. It was very confusing to a lot of people.
Not to me. Never to me.
But it was to a lot of people. No. So that's another reason.
It was explained, it made perfect sense, but I can see where people would get confused.
But if it's not explained to you, it's kind of difficult to understand. So that's part of the reason that didn't go that way again by any means. So
indestructible haste for 4 mana, 5/4, like that's pretty gross. And even the ability is pretty gross. But making sure that you have one or fewer cards in hand, that's like you don't want that. Even if you are in a red aggressive deck, like being the Hellbent or whatever the fuck it is, like that's not fun. You want cards in hand. Cards are great. Card advantage is good.
Well, unless you're a Knife's new burn deck and he just wants to throw all his cards out of his hand.
Yeah, exactly. That's
annoying. This ability is annoying to me. Even though it's a cool card, I don't like it because it's like I want cards in my hand more than I want a 5/4 indestructible. That's like what I feel.
Yeah, it's a card I don't see myself playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, these gods are meh just because of the pure fact of you got to have one or less cards in hand. So I mean, late game, I guess it could be good, or you play it on 4 and then you wait till
it still doesn't
late
have
game,
like trample or nothing else. You know, like we don't care about like. 10/10s for 5 mana are not even good now. You know, even that's not a thing. I'm just saying that's those kind of creatures. Like, who gives a shit, man? Like, we want to make sure it has some proper evasion, not just indestructible haste. That's what I feel like at least. Dude, so.
You know what I'm excited for? Sacred Cat for 1 white. It's a 1/1 with lifelink with embalm for a white.
Oh, dude, the embalm with the token that has it all wrapped up.
I
want to
make a cat jackal deck.
That's
my. I'll wait to see what else is spoiled, but I'm going for cat jackals.
They have the cat lord now.
I know. It's good stuff. I like the cat lord.
Okay, what about in. Oketra's name. Oketra, I guess. Instant for 1 and a white. It is I believe it's a common. It's a common. I can't really see it very well because it's in a white background. Instant for 2 mana, right? Zombies you control get +2/+1 until end of turn. Other creatures you control get +1/+1 until end of turn. So bringing it up because these effects are always 3 fucking mana. A lot of them are fucking sorcery speed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are playing zombies, which maybe that will be a supported thing, you know, once we get to the end of this, like, I'm not against playing this even outside of limited. Like, 2 mana instant speed to, like, really get a surprise win or just a surprise trade during blocking. Like, fucking, that's a strong effect to me. Very strong effect. Even if it didn't have the +1/+1 to other creatures, I still think it's playable. Just for the zombies that you have, but now that it has +1/+1 for even the zombies, I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that, man. That's pretty fucking good. I mean, this is like, I don't know, it's a fine card. It has to obviously see play with a very specific strategy, and I'm not going to change my modern deck around or nothing to go ahead and support this, but I still like that they pushed
it. I think it's for that a solid direction. Card they pushed for, it. You know, getting zombies another fucking push of things.
Will see play?
Even
not.
Without the zombies, it's still for even if you're just playing other creatures, the instant speed for 2 mana pump your whole team. Is still quite good when, like you said, usually it's 3 or 4 mana and it's sorcery speed.
Yeah, this is, and they have that one that's like you can choose like one or the other, and it's either +2/+0 or +0/+2, and that's an instant speed one. But it's like, well, that doesn't really work for me. You know, this one is better than that. So, delicious. I don't think there's really anything else in this April 3rd that I want to go on about. You guys got anything?
The only thing I want to bring up is just in a general sense. I wonder where it's going to be going. What cards are going to be printed here that are going to give you advantage for having -1/-1 counters on your creatures? Because there's a bunch of creatures that enter the battlefield, like Crocodile of the Crossing, for 3 and a green, so 5/4 with haste. When Crocodile of the Crossing enters the battlefield, put a -1/-1 counter on target creature you control. There's a lot of cards that put -1 counters on your own creatures that are coming out right now.
Well, there is one card we'll get to that, like, when you, every upkeep or something, you remove a 1/1 counter from a creature you control, and then you can, like, draw a card, discard a card, or something like that. There is
I'm wondering what their payoffs are going to be, because it just seems like a lot of cards that are... Maybe they're doing that because it's an overpowered card, so they're giving it, like, a negative effect.
That's what this one seems like. The Crocodile seems like it's too overpowered, so...
I feel like most of them are like that, too.
Yeah, so my point being, I just wonder if there's going to be any other payoff.
A way to really get it so it's not a negative, or not that bad of a negative, that it can be turned around into something better.
That's what I'm waiting to see if there's a chance.
Makes sense.
So moving on to the next day, we have Lay Bare the Heart for 1 and a black sorcery. It's Distress, basically. Target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose a non-legendary, non-land card from it. They discard it. And then in the comments it says Kalima.
Yeah, it's moving to hard. Yeah. I think this card is not playable, but that's fine. I mean, I'm sure that there might be
not playable. You
I think maybe sideboard stuff, but I feel like I just don't like this card. That's just it.
It's the new world style of Inquisition and Thotsie stuff where you don't really get those cards anymore. That is the type of card, type of hand removal, hand disruption we get now.
Yeah, I can't say that it's not playable because that's kind of wrong because, I mean, like, I'm sure that it'll see sideboard play, but in my mind, I'm like, I just will never play this card in Standard.
So the reason I like it is just because Waste Not in Frontier, getting some more tools, picking up real slow, getting some more tools. Other than that, yeah, Standard, I don't see it doing much.
There's just not enough hand disruption, you know, decks to be made now because it's not good enough now for that stuff. But I don't think it's a bad card.
So another cycle of stuff. We have monuments, just the same thing that you're mentioning, that they have like one for each color thing. Good for limited stuff. So 3-mana legendary artifact. They have one for each color. That color, creature spells, cost one less to cast. And then we can kind of go, I can go down just a few of them. So like the best one I feel like is the white one. Whenever you cast a creature spell, create a 1/1 white warrior creature token with vigilance. So you just make that every time you cast a spell, and your spells, your creature spells cost one generic less to cast.
I think that's fucking amazing.
I think that's a good card.
That's a card that goes well in decks I like to make that are attrition decks, like Impact Tremors and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So red-white Tremors is, that's a thing right there.
Right.
Yeah, that's going in my fucking tokens EDH deck for sure.
Yeah, that's a good one too. So the next second best one I think is the green one, even though they're all obviously colorless because they're just generic artifacts. But green creatures cost one less, of course, and then when you cast a creature spell, target creature you control gets +2/+2 and trample until end of turn. So
that trample part.
The trample part is obviously the biggest part. Yeah. So it just makes it where it triggers off each creature that's cast, and if you're playing green, you're obviously a creature-heavy deck, which means that you're going to be able to just, in limited especially, you can just go ahead and play a creature on curve every single time you can and just get in with whatever you cast the previous turn and just keep doing that nonstop. While making everything cheaper. So it's kind of just like playing a Signet that does something more. You know, it's just, it gives something a little cheaper and a little bonus. You know what I mean? So I think it's super good for limited. What's that?
You get the rummage with the red one.
Yeah, that one's okay. I mean, not great, but still worthwhile.
Draw a card.
The black one is each opponent loses a life, you gain a life. Like, once again, not going to win you the game.
But
and then,
again, up? I'm a fan of attrition and that kind of deck. It's a card I'm looking at as a potential to pay attention to.
If you're in limited and you're heavy on one color,
limited
while splashing
is all
for a second.
Card for. I'm looking at making constructed decks. And
okay.
I enjoy making attrition style decks, and attrition being pinging you here and pinging you for value. And so that's the type of thing that I'm going to look at and see if I can make it work.
Now, if it was entering the battlefield, then this thing would be fucking awesome, but it's not. It's, you got to cast it.
Yeah,
and so that's where black doesn't really, you know, they're not
firing. By no means, I'm saying is it like going to be fantastic, but in a deck where I'm like built around a Zulaport Cutthroat type of deck, an Aristocrats deck, it's something I'm going to look at as a possibility.
So, and then the blue one is whenever you cast a creature spell, target creature an opponent controls doesn't untap during its next untap. The thing is, it doesn't tap the creature. All it does is what that like common blue land did a few cycles ago, whatever, a few expansions ago. It's fine though.
I wish it tapped them because I mean I don't know if that big it's too good to do that, but it is unfortunate that you don't get to actually tap them down.
Yeah.
So I've looked through a lot of these spoilers. I haven't looked through them all, and you know what the card I'm most excited about so far?
Temet.
Essence Scatter.
Essence Scatter's good.
Yeah, one in a blue, counter target creature spell.
Super good right now.
I fucking played the shit out of that last time it was legal, and I
can't hit
love
vehicles,
it.
But everything else, fucking meet their maker, bro.
Mm-mm.
Real quick, want to step back to the Kefnet's Monument?
Actually,
where you
technically,
tap them down?
Technically, would it, the when you're casting it.
No, it's not a creature.
It wouldn't be a creature.
It's not a creature. It's an artifact vehicle, nothing else. Yeah, no other text.
It doesn't say creature on that.
It becomes a creature from the crew.
Talking about the one that
now
taps,
you have to get the cods god keeps, stuff confused.
It keeps the card tapped down.
Yeah,
that's actually it could actually be viable with all this exertion. What's that's a mechanic, right?
Exert.
So when cards are already exerting themselves, and so now they're, you know, maybe it's the next upkeep which will be able to untap. It's already tapped now, so you can be able to just go ahead and pass creature and keep it tapped for a third turn. So I'm just saying, like, again, it's much better if it tapped it down too. But that makes it a little more viable in this particular setting.
Yeah, it makes sense that if there are going to be a lot of those that are relevant, then yeah, you can just like, hey, you exerted it, you got your fucking thing, but now I just got to keep it down longer. You're right. That is more longer time for a creature to be tapped, which more chances for this effect to work. Okay. Temet, is that his name?
Yeah I'm reading him right now.
Vizier of Noctuman.
Noctuman.
Noctuman. So It's already going to get my attention because it's a 2-mana legendary creature. Like, anything that's like that is already going to have some playability no matter how bad it is. Just, for some reason in my mind, it always has to be.
Tiny leaders.
So, tiny leaders especially. There we go. One and a white, or sorry, white and a blue. 2-mana. God damn it, I went back.
At the beginning of combat on your turn, target creature token you control gets +1/+1 until end of turn and can't be blocked this turn. It has embalm for 3, white and a blue. And it's a 2/2.
Yeah, so in token decks, if and especially like if you were to be able to create bigger tokens rather than just the 1/1s and all that kind of stuff.
Or like embalmed tokens.
For me, I don't think this card's very good except for an embalmed deck.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Like, and also, that's what I'm saying. Outside of that, the building like a Tiny Leader's deck or commander stuff, like I just don't see it being
that's that fine. Good of a card. That's fine. I still think that besides just the 1/1 token decks, there's some you know that make bigger shit. And this would be good. And also the embalm works for himself now. So now, once you pay 5 mana and embalm him, he's a 3/3 unblockable creature. That's fucking dope. And it's just fucking dope. A thing that creates unblockable creatures, just a 1/1 attacking for 2 each turn, as just a little baby bonus, is already exciting me. So, you know, crazy Voice of Resurgence win the game shit? No. But definitely value. Definitely a lot of value.
So this card I think is crap. For being a rare, crap. I think it's bullshit.
Which one?
Channeler Initiate. For 1 and a green, so 3/4. 3/4 is probably the best part of it. I guess maybe that's you can put it on itself. Now, I'm going to step back a little bit because I didn't realize it's the power and toughness itself. When it enters the battlefield, put 3 negative one counters on target creature you control. Tap it, remove a -1/-1 counter from Channeler Initiate. Add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. So I kind of misread it at first, thinking like, okay, you have to like, we can't play this mana dork till turn 4 or 5 when you have a big enough creature to actually survive its 1/1 counters. But being able to attack, put it on itself is fine. So I want to disregard mine.
No, it's a good card. I think this is a good card. It's going to be, a 0/1 if you go ahead and place it on itself. But otherwise, if you want to just have a 3/4 for 1 and a green, you can go ahead and just kill your turn 1 play, which is that little fucking 1/2 that makes a clue.
Thraben Inspector,
just kill that fucking dude. Get him out of here, and now you have a turn 2, 3/4, and a clue in the battlefield, and that's totally value right there.
I mean, the first thing I thought when I saw the card was, like, your Tiny Leader's Big Butts. Because they're like, you're playing 0/5s and 0/6s, and you're like, oh, fuck, this will help me fucking cast my spells a turn earlier, and my shit will survive.
And this thing, you can only
move a counter, the 1/1 counter from it to make a mana.
Right.
You only move it.
But still,
that.
If you want a 3/4, it's that. If you want the other ability, then yeah, of course, it doesn't have haste and like that, but you get mana for the next 3 turns, and then late game, you have a 3/4.
See, that was my mistake. Fine. That's why I stepped back. I didn't realize it was a 3/4. I was looking at the card itself going, okay, I have to put all these counters on something else, and I'm like, for this to be a mana dork late, it just
nobody
seems
cares
stupid,
about power and toughness on a mana dork. Yeah. And this thing is a mana dork that just gets to become a regular creature once you're done using its mana. Like, you don't care about, you know, on turn 6 is that you need extra mana from a mana dork. You only need it on turn 3, 4, and 5. 3 and 4, really. So now this thing just becomes bigger and bigger, and then once you have all the -1 counters off it, you're like, fuck it. 3, 4, beater. Done.
So, the next card I want to talk about is Drakehaven. Kefnet the Careful. 2 and a blue.
Careful. Yeah. You weren't very careful when you read that card.
What?
Kefnet the Mindful. Not the Careful.
It says the Careful on fucking Mythic Spoilers.
That's too bad. Kefnet the Mindful.
It's right there.
What are you talking about?
It's right there.
What are you talking about, homie?
Oh, man. This is good stuff.
Oh, you mean this card right here?
Okay, well, the Japanese...
Yeah, obviously.
The Japanese one that somebody else translated was...
Yeah, the translation's
wrong. And the art's
wrong.
Different?
No,
it's the same card. It's the translation's wrong. Can you accept that the translation might be wrong?
Well,
can you just do that
blame
for us?
Foreigners, okay?
Yes, you blame them.
Call up Trump and fucking start building the wall because
they're already building
Kefnet
it.
The Careful doesn't care about no walls because that motherfucker has wings.
There was a joke about how it's like you should just tell all the Trump supporters that the wall's already built because they'll just believe whatever Trump says and then it'll save us a ton, like billions of dollars.
So yeah, they're never going to go like, visit the wall.
Trump should just be like, oh, the wall's done. You're all fucking safe now. And everyone will be like, yeah, Trump. And then everyone else is like, yeah, you saved us like $10 billion. Thanks a lot. So, go on.
So anyways.
Be careful.
Kefnet, the misinterpreted, is... he's very complex. 2 and a blue, legendary creature. He's a god. Flying, indestructible. He can't attack or block unless you have 7 or more cards in hand. Pay 3 and a blue, draw a card, then you may return a land you control to its owner's hand. So this is, obviously, the red was you have one or less because that's supposed to be the top end for red. So, like, you know, you're playing out all your small threats by the time you play your 4-drop. You got little to no cards in hand. We're blue, on the other hand. I don't know. I think this activated ability is way better than the other ones because you get to draw a card and then you get to return a land. So, of course, you're going to fucking have 7 or more cards in hand.
Well, I wouldn't say of course, but it's going to enable that a lot easier.
But you know you're drawing a card in return. You play him on curve on 3. You get to attack on 4, and then you get to play 2 spells.
Yeah, like blue, if you're playing the proper control deck, you're not doing 2 spells per turn. If anything, you're just playing your land and go and just responding to whatever your opponent does. So having 7 cards in hand, you know, it doesn't happen every time, but it happens more than any other color, right? Yeah. So it seems like this is the correct text for the color, more so than the red, I feel like.
Yeah.
And drawing a card for 3 mana, just if you have a bunch of mana, you can draw 2 cards or whatever. 4 mana. Bouncing lands, like I said, the cycling lands, bounce them to your hand. Then you can cycle it, draw an additional card.
4 mana.
What'd I say?
3.
Oh, sorry, 3 and a blue. Yeah, you can just go ahead and bounce that cycling land and then and pay 2 and draw off that. And then, otherwise, it's just you just literally pay into it and draw a card. Like, that's even the limited card that's like a 4 mana, 2-1, pay 4, draw a card. Like, I'd play that shit all day in limited.
I don't even remember what the other gods' text are, but I feel like this one is the best.
Well, that's only two. We only have those 2 gods so far.
We only have 2 so far?
Yeah, we only have 2.
Well, there's a reason why it's the best so far.
It's absolutely the best.
Yeah.
So,
okay. I got to be very careful about what I say.
4, yeah, either way. 3 mana, 5/5, flying destructible.
You totally missed it. Sorry. He's playing on his careful the thing again.
Sorry. Careful.
Be mindful of your words.
I'm sorry. Ooh. Drakehaven. This thing's sick as fuck. 2 mana, or 2 sure? and a blue enchantment. When you cycle or discard a card, you may pay 1 if you do create a 2/2 blue Drake creature token with flying. I think this card is fucking awesome. You guys don't think so? We can move on. But I think that if cycling is big, which hopefully it is for the next, you know, not just this one, but also the expansion afterwards, then being able to have this as like a fringe deck, not standard fucking Pro Tour shit.
We like
but a super, yeah, fringe deck, dude. If you guys aren't interested, I will just take rain right now. I want it now.
Not that I'm not interested in it. This, like I said, enchantments are the type of cards I like to build around. This is like, looking at it on the surface, this type of card I want to build around. I just don't have high hopes of being a good enough deck of cycling of things, or good enough things to build around with it, and for discarding and things like that.
Bro.
I think it's going to be harder to enable with it, and, you know, I just feel like it's going to be too slow. When you want to play this on turn 3, and you're doing other things going on, I feel like it's being one of those cards where you're not going to get enough value, enough 2-2 flyers out
imagine
of it.
In, like, with, like, if Copter was still around, and all you're doing is drawing and discarding constantly with that thing, paying 1... In Frontier it is. So you get to just fucking pay 1 mana. You're drawing, discarding a card, and then you're making a fucking 2-2. And if you're cycling, you're drawing a card, paying a mana, and then getting a 2-2 as well. Like, it's just, I feel like this thing can get out of control. Maybe not, like, you know, combo-esque where you get fucking 8 2-2 flyers in one turn, but just a consistent generator, like a Thopter fucking, what is that, Thopter Foundry, whatever it's called? The 4-mana enchantment that just makes Thopters every upkeep?
Something.
Do you mean Thopter Founder?
Thopter Spy Network. Thopter that Founder. One, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like something like that, you know what I mean? Where it's just constant value. It's always something to do. So as long as you have, yeah, discard outlets, which could be just like, even like the 2-mana 2-2 in green that you just get to discard at whenever you want to, and it gets +1/+1, the little reach dude. Like shit like that. You just get to, you're able to just go ahead and make this, you know, do this thing at instant speed, either cycling or discarding, and getting a 2-2 flyer for chumpies, or just at end step on your opponent's turn so that everything basically has haste, and then go fucking swing in. I think there's going to be some prizing shit with this card in the Fringe Network.
So for me, I am really excited. Like, this is going to be easily my favorite trial. Trial of Ambition for 1 and a black. When Trial of Ambition enters the battlefield, target opponent sacrifices a creature. I love cards that make my opponent sacrifice creatures.
And you get to bounce it and redo it.
And I get to bounce and redo it.
It's going to be so good limited.
So again, when a cartouche enters the battlefield, it returns to your hand. I'm very excited about that. I hope the cartouches are good enough. Looking at them, it's like, okay, well, I want to do the cheaper one. So the red one is +1/+1 in haste. I mean, that's not the best thing overall, but it can be great for throwing a creature in the field along at the same time or whatever may have you. No, that would be in the field. So play a creature, put this cartouche on it.
Dude,
get that creature 1/1 in haste, have 2 mana still open, then make them sack another creature and get through that one.
Okay, so let's just, I'm not even going to say the cartouches are involved in this, okay? Let's just say that this is standard playable. because it's a two mana. There's nothing cheaper that makes you sacrifice a creature than this spell.
Like and now, it's like an old school edict is what it is.
The old school edict. And now let's just think about the flicker effects. Yeah. That could be like just the Felidor Guardian type stuff, whatever else there is in like the standard Frontier universe. Mm-hmm. This is it right here. You're just able to bounce this motherfucker and go ahead and have them sack their board.
I'm very excited. Super, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this card too.
Dude, what is Lando doing on Amonkhet?
Dude.
What the fuck?
That guy's the best.
He gets around.
He does. What does he have in his hand? I don't even remember.
He has like, what was that, an arrow or fucking something? A French tickler.
It's a French tickler.
Exemplar of strength, one in the green, 4/4. When it enters, put 3/-1/-1 counters on target creature you control. When this thing attacks, remove a -1/-1 counter from it.
It's up top. It's not.
Yeah. If you do, gain one life. It's not that important. But it's
fucking Lando.
It's not up top. It's on the same goddamn day.
Is it though?
Yeah.
Well, which day?
What's the name of the card?
Exemplar of strength.
Then it's not on my April 5th.
Dude, right? Go to newest things for on the days. Where are you at?
Yeah, don't worry about him.
It's literally, see, April 3rd. Now I'm going to make you look like a big, fat, stupid
bitch. We're past that.
We're on April 5th. Don't worry about it. We're good.
But that is definitely Lando. Holy shit.
It is Lando. But yeah, we were talking about cards that were on April 5th. We moved to the next one. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and you didn't announce it, so.
Jersey did. Yeah, he did. No big deal. Listeners at home were like, he announced it! Or they're like, I'm not paying attention, I don't know who's right. Lando's there, though. Check out the art. Okay, Gideon? Want to talk about Gideon? Gideon of the Trials?
Fuck Gideon, I hate all Gideons.
Oh, man, come on.
I'm not saying it's a bad card, I just hate Gideon.
One white, 3 mana, 3 loyalty, Planeswalker. His name's Gideon. +1, until your next turn, prevent all damage, target permanent would deal. Then there's 2/0 abilities. What's that?
What's the fucking Simic? What's her name? The Planeswalker? Kiora.
Kiora.
It's Kiora's ability right there. Can't do damage.
Yeah, I think that's the same thing, right? Yeah, that makes sense. And that one was just...
Actually, no, that would like be that would deal or be dealt to it. So this one's just... Target permanent would deal.
It's even better. Okay. Yeah. So then now we have 2/0 abilities. One of them is where it turns into a 4/4 human soldier, indestructible, can't be damaged.
Ever Gideon has.
Same old thing, yeah. And then the other one, the more interesting 0, is you get an emblem with... As long as you control Gideon Planeswalker, a Gideon Planeswalker... You can't lose the game, and your opponents can't win the game. Gideon of the Trials.
For 0. I mean, that's just bullshit.
I hear that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Being able to lose.
Let's talk about it. What do you guys got?
It's
the 0,
it's
right?
It's insane.
The fact +1 and 0, we don't care.
The fact that it's
0
for an emblem that makes you can't lose a game if you have another Gideon on the field. So if he himself is on the field still, you can't lose? Like, that's pretty fucking good. That's a little ridiculous.
So there was like talk of this being playable in older formats because there are decks that don't win through damage.
Right.
There are like storm decks that in the old school that win through opponent losing life. And so their deck has nothing that is able to do damage to a permanent. God, get out of your fly, you piece of shit. So if you play Gideon, it's like, oh, this person can't win. Like it just hoses them right away.
Yeah,
so if there are decks that don't try to win through damage.
Another fucking tool for death and taxes type decks?
Like that, exactly. So like sideboard tech, just for like something that plays a way that makes them lose life. Like Grapeshot, this won't do anything to that because you can just redirect the first 3 or whatever it is to kill Gideon and then the rest of it. It'll slow it down. Yeah. It's kind of like you're just giving yourself extra life at this point. But it'll hose certain decks that even like milling, right? Like you can't lose the game. So I guess you just like... draw no card and just play it out? Like, what do you do with that? What happens with mill?
I don't know. Is that a different rule? We have to look
Fuck,
that
I don't know. I'm just because, curious.
Yeah, I don't know how that interaction would work.
Hey, how does it work? Judge level
mill,
zero?
Judge level mill player?
Level mill?
Yeah,
the mere judge?
I mean, I can't lose.
Mill Sticky wins finger judge wins.
No matter what.
Even if you still have cards in your library.
It just wins. But what do you think, though? You have any opinion about that? He's going to bullshit with us all fucking night.
I would say that the emblem would trump the mill.
I think so, too. I think you just try to draw a card, you can't, and then you just keep playing until...
Because it says you literally can't lose the game.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. But I guess it's something to look into. And if you're listening at home, send us a fucking message if we haven't done so and looked it up. So.
But any good mill deck has a lot of removal things, so...
So, okay, we were talking earlier, me and Mr. Knife City Alchemist, about Like, the ways to take care of this Gideon. You want to go into that?
I kind of forgot what we were talking about, so lead the way.
We were talking about... Good. You're just totally
Are you even looking at the spoiler on your phone, or are you just playing around?
Shut the fuck up.
So we were talking about how when you play this ultimate, it's like now... Knife was saying that all your attention is now on Gideon. That's one of the biggest perks of it now.
Correct.
You have to take care of Gideon, and then you can kill your opponent afterwards.
So that is the popular thought that, that emblem's out, now I have to get rid of Gideon. Oh, no.
Well, yes and no, to a point where, yes, you're correct. You have to take care of Gideon.
That's the initial, visceral, oh, no.
Okay. So you still get him with zero life and then take care of Gideon.
So that's what Hot Sauce's point was.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I had this train of thought.
Okay, well, I already got it for
kept
you.
Me up all night.
I wasn't here for your conversation, so I thought of it first.
Yep. No, you did.
So basically, you don't have to worry about Gideon. I mean, actually, a 4-4 indestructible attacking you every turn might be a pain in the ass, and just his plus one ability also will be a pain in the ass. But the fact is, you can just get them down to zero and then worry about the Gideon.
Yeah, that's what realistically, I feel. Like, it's any Gideon has that plus zero becomes a creature thing. So you just deal with them like any other Gideon you would and play a regular game rather than freaking out.
You play your regular game, you build your board up like normal, you make it where the game is in your favor, and you have enough creatures, enough whatever's going on that your deck's doing, you... Get your opponent down to low life total where you feel comfortable, and then you take care of Gideon afterwards. Rather than trying to throw anything that you can while setting your board back, getting rid of Gideon so that you have it off the board and then go, nice, now I can go ahead and build my board back up and all this stuff. No, you just play the game like completely normal, not even like the effect is there, and then get your opponent down to zero. Just in the back of your mind, make sure that you have... a plan for Gideon eventually.
But dude, still, just get him down to zero. Let him like hit you forever, thinking like, okay, I'm going to get this because they can't kill him off my Gideon. So they're swinging to kill you. Attack. Just play Hero's Downfall and you win.
Hero's Downfall.
Yeah.
Playable in Standard.
Bring it back.
Unfortunately, that is so to counteract that idea is that while you're killing them, they're going to be plussing up and plussing up and plussing up. So you're going to have like a fucking 10 loyalty fucking Gideon to deal with, whereas before you had a 3 loyalty Gideon to deal with.
Yeah, but at the same time, you still have your creatures to attack him at the same time. So
yeah, we're in a creature
just
form.
Just like any other Gideon, you still have to deal with him as you would. Don't ignore him, and then deal with him only later. But
he's preventing the damage, so that just makes it harder.
From one permanent.
Yeah, I know, but on turn 3,
I understand what you're saying. But
they're going to be killing your guys in the meantime. So, both ways have their pros and cons, but just as a counter argument to this counter-argument that he's going to be a harder to take care of the later it goes on.
Yeah, if you don't pay attention to him, if you don't be taking him down, or taking chunks off him when you can, if you just ignore him entirely, then yeah, he's going to be huge. And that's just, you can't do that. That's stupid.
Yeah. 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 Either way. Gideon seems good because 3-mana Planeswalkers are always good. That's what I got to say.
Say it, Knife. Say it.
Yeah. Once again, your goddamn timing of your tablet is just bothering me to no end.
Me?
No, not that.
I need to change that.
Fix it in your settings now.
It's like
in a little bit.
Every 15
you guys
seconds,
fix next card.
His screen goes dim,
and then he has to hit the button.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Continue on without me.
Damn it! Just
fucking idiot.
Idiot.
Fucking Christ.
I've been looking at things, so go ahead.
Good, I have it. Okay, I sent it 10 minutes. There we go. Maybe we'll see if it works. I'm going to keep doing it anyways, though.
Fuck you.
Fuck you, bro. Your life is so good that you get annoyed by the stupidest things.
So, Trial of Strength is 2 and a green for an enchantment. It's of the trial cycle. When it enters the battlefield, create a 4/2 green beast creature token. When a cartouche enters the battlefield under your control, return this to its owner's hand.
So yeah, one for each color, and they kind of fall in line with whatever.
The cycle of trials, a cycle of cartouches.
That's not bad to have, 3-mana for a 4/2 token, and then be able to cast that again later on. Not too bad.
So what about these fucking aftermath cards? These underpowered, annoying looking, rare, open up my pack and be disappointed with fucking cut to ribbons, rags to riches, insult to injury, all these fucking cards that I'm going to be like, no,
I just
stop giving me fucking penny rares, wizards.
I just want to say that one of the arguments people had made about the aftermath part of the card is that with the fuse cards, you got to turn it sideways and then your opponent knows that you have a fucking fuse card. what the fuck do you think you're going to be doing with this? Even like one half of it you can read, and then you're like, wait, was the other half too? Let me try and tilt just, my head just, ever so slightly.
Just learn how to read up and down. Just look at the letters.
Though, right? So like no matter what, you're still
making a dumbass argument for the same fucking thing.
You're still going to have to turn the card. Why not make it look fucking nice?
Oh, we got
to
watch it like SCG camera and just see the guy. And it's like...
We need to do the fucking meme like the dogs that like, tilt their heads.
Yeah, just, exactly. So it's going to be that.
He's got an aftermath card.
There's only going to be one playable of these version of this card in standard, probably.
Yeah.
And so they know that that's the fucking card. It's not even like, oh, which one of the four is it? No, it's like... Okay, the white one's the only one that's good, which means that I got to watch out for my creatures getting wrath.
It's going to be a taco neck syndrome all over again.
Taco neck.
So, as foretold, card two in a blue.
Oh, my God.
I didn't realize you're reading a card name.
As foretold by the gods of Knife City.
And he saith to them, pierce their flesh. So, this is probably... the best card of the set, if not the best card. I'm really
ever printed in Magic.
I'm really impressed by that blue god. It makes me want to brew around it. But as foretold, for two and a blue, it's an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a time counter on as foretold. Once each turn, you may pay zero rather than pay the mana cost for a spell you cast with converted mana cost, X or less, where X is the number of time counters on foretold. So you play it. You can play a spell from your hand that has zero mana cost without paying the zero mana cost. Notably,
The fucking draw three Ancestral Vision.
Yeah. So the, you know, any suspend
or Living End or Restore Balance, any of those cards that have suspend X fucking who gives a shit number, where you got to wait a million turns for it to work or cheat it in with Cascade. Well, now you don't have to use Cascade. If you don't want to, you can go ahead and use As Foretold and get the value instantly, but also have a card that sticks in the battlefield and fucking goes to town on your opponent.
Somebody was saying, like, yeah, it's pretty shitty, but once it gets up to three counters, like, free counterspells, anybody?
Yeah.
Tap the fuck out and then just have free counterspells? Like, that's
fucking...
You mean
I can play a Force of Will on standard?
Yeah, so, that's fucking gross.
To be clear about this, if anyone, you know, hasn't read the card themselves... It works on each turn.
Once each turn.
So that means that you can play, like, creatures and other sorcery shit on your turn, and then save your counter spells and other instants for their turn. And that is fucking awesome.
Stupid.
And in standard, it's probably going to be too slow. We don't know. It might be fucking really, really good. But it's probably going to be too slow. But in other formats that are slower, like Commander, this card is going to be number one target, like... This thing is going to be... It's value city, dude. It just goes value city. With Proliferate, this card also just gets better and better and better and better. And then you get to a point where you're at 6-7 mana or 6-7 time counters. Literally, your whole hand is ready to fire at any time. That's fucking scary as shit for Commander. Because it's X or less. It doesn't have to be the exact one, like Aether Vial or something like that.
While I was excited about Brain in the Jar for the possibilities and like the whole this kind of style,
yeah,
like
but it's
being
the exact same.
Exactly,
you're gonna say that. I know.
My feeling before when we had this the last spoiler thing when we had Brain in the Jar, I was talking about how it was kind of like the spells version of Aether Vial, and like obviously it's not as powerful. And we talked about it before, not as powerful, but that had to be the exact mana. This being X or less is just
it's
fucking
gross. It allows just you get to a certain number of time counters, which build around that shit, proliferate the shit out of it, and. Get this thing to a point where you're just like, guess what? Anything I draw is fucking free. And if it's instant, I can go ahead and cast my creature this turn, and I can just wait until you guys do something on your turn.
So, for me, the one rebuttal about you saying not being viable for standard, more than likely, is I feel like we have more cards re-spoiled here, but I feel like based upon like what masterpieces they created for this set and some of the cards we've already seen, I feel like it's trying to... Because everything goes in cycles between creatures and spells and what becomes more powerful in certain sets.
Yeah.
I feel like this set's going to start to bring control back a little bit. And so, like, I'm not saying by any means I'm guaranteeing this card's going to be played. I'm just saying I think it has a chance.
I think it has a chance, too. I think it has a chance, too, as long as the control is strong enough, just like you said, that you can really slow the game down, make it go real long, and then people have to bring in enchantment hate to take care of this. But that's just taking away from the beaters and actually their win conditions of their deck. So control wins both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
for control, here it comes.
Yeah, we gotta hope, man. I fucking hope so too. Because I mean, like Essence Scatter
disallows
back,
and as foretolds and
fucking negates
Declaration Stones,
dude, all that shit.
Murders,
the fucking the counterspell that makes
fatal
pushes, the clue tokens.
Yep.
Shit like that. That one's good too. The investigate one. Yeah. So I guess we can move past April 5th, and we can go skip past April 6th, because that's just fucking Planeswalker shit. Planeswalker deck shit. What do we got? A little Cat Lord? Regal
Caracal.
Caracal, dude.
3W. It's a 3/3 creature cat. It's a kitty. It's 3 kitties on the picture. It's a rare. Other cats you control get +1/+1 and lifelink.
You're excused.
When Regal Caracal enters the battlefield, create 2/1/1 white creature tokens with lifelink.
Is it going to see standard play? No. Who cares, though?
It will my cat jackal.
Yeah, it will.
Red, white cat jackals. Dude, here it comes.
MTGO, get ready to see yep. this shit in the
red,
fringe.
White cat jackals.
Fucking dope. So
yeah, I'm a fan cool. of lords, and like I like cats, so I'm going to be a cat jackal deck.
Well, they have like something like this, like with the centaurs and shit like that. And like
exactly. So it's all great. It's going to be a fringe. Somebody wants to make some kind of tribal deck. Cool like, I want to make a cat jackal deck, and we'll go from there and see what I can do.
Okay, now I'm moving into the power here. Okay. Throne of the God Pharaoh. Dude, this is crazy card.
Yes.
You know, there's always going to be like 5 cards per set that you're like, oh man, they're really pushing some shit here. 2 mana, 2 generic, legendary artifact. At the beginning of your end step, each opponent loses life equal to the number of tapped creatures you control.
Oh baby, oh baby.
That's,
hey, you know what I just thought of?
Ridiculous.
Cryptothrite. Or all your creatures tap mana and your turn if you want to. Just go ahead and tap them all.
Improvise, able to tap your artifact creatures and produce mana with them, generic mana with them. So now, instead of attacking because you can't, now you can just cast big fatties and then still deal damage while casting more spells. So improvise, token strategies, and like from any fucking format you can think of. What you just said, even like that, elves and that, mana dorks and shit like
what's
that.
What's that artifact that gives all your spells improvise?
Inspiring Vantage there or Inspiring go, something.
No, that's a land, isn't it?
No, it's Inspiring something.
Yeah, so that with Sanctuary the Throne of the God Pharaoh, plus whatever else you could build around for improvised type of things.
Right.
And just, I'm going to tap this for mana to play, and I still burn you.
Literally just your win con. And you can even tap this for mana.
This is attrition, and I love attrition.
Dude, you could tap this for mana because of improvise.
Yes.
This could be a mana fucking dork and your win condition all in one for 2 mana.
I'm telling you, bud.
So it's gross. Even like I said, even in elves. Even just elves, just they just tap for green nonstop.
Yep.
And you can play along that with black green elves, and you can either cast the dude that
deals
damage
with
elves.
Oh, dude, this is for sure going in my fucking elves modern deck. Or you can just one or two of these.
Or you can just tap all of them and just not swing in and be like, all right, well, then take that. Or swing in and do a bunch of damage and then like, all right, well, end step, I'm going to kill you with the remainder. You know, I'm going to hit you for 6 from that.
I'm fucking excited.
Yeah, this card has a lot of avenues to go down. It's not like creatures don't fucking tap. Like, that's what they do. You know, even with an exert creature, for that added little bonus that it's going to be tapped for another time, that you're going to ping him for 1 from that one creature. That's kind of a stupid one, but still, it is an added little thingy. Do Glory Bound. What do you want to?
No, that's a white card. That's all you do. The card I want to talk about is Failure to Comply. Split card. That is, for 1 and a blue, return target spell to its owner's hand. So a fucking remand minus a card draw. So
yeah,
so
or that. What's that one that they had?
I know,
last
I was going to say that, but I just forgot.
It returns a creature or the spell to their hand?
Yeah, just return a spell to its owner's hand. Well, comply from your graveyard, aftermath, choose a card name. Until your next turn, your opponents can't cast spells with a chosen name.
So basically it's like silence
it's Reflecting Mage and a spell.
Reflecting Mage and a spell. That's what I thought of the same thing when I read this. Exactly, and it's the same mana cost. How do you like that?
That's my point.
One blue and a fucking white.
It is fucking Reflector Mage back in standard without you having the creature on the field, obviously.
Yep. Pretty dope. Pretty fucking dope. And yeah,
so I don't think it's that bad at all.
Because it just returns target spells, you can do like hit any spell they cast, instant sorceries, creatures, whatever, and then they're just stuck, just like you said. So yeah, pretty fucking good. Pretty fucking good. I really like that card. Probably
Esper Control.
One of 2 playable of these Aftermath cards.
Esper Control. I would say. There it is. Coming back.
Yeah, you like this one, Failure to Comply.
Oh yeah, I love that one.
That one's the best. So, I'm going to go on to the white one then. Glorybound Initiate. 1 and a white, 2 mana for a 3/1 human warrior. You may exert this dude as it attacks. When you do, it gets +1/+3 and gains lifelink until end of turn. So it's a 4/4. Life when link. It attacks, lifelink, but it remains tapped for initial turn. But, really simple. In standard, we have Always Watching, and that gives +1/+1 and vigilance to all your creatures that are not tokens. So that means that this is a 5/5 vigilance lifelink attacker on turn 3 from Always Watching.
But I believe the exertion still counts as a trigger for it. It still taps it down.
No, it does not tap it down. Absolutely not. 100%.
Okay.
As exerted...
Again, I was still learning these mechanics. I'm just
an exerted creature won't untap during your next untap step. Okay. Nothing to do with tapping the creature.
Okay.
So this is a 5/5 lifelink beater on turn 3 with Always Watching. Other than that, though, a 4-4 for 2 mana that has to take a turn off is probably not good enough to be played. But in the right deck, you know, with Vigilance especially, then it's worth it. And it might be where you just can't play it because you can't take the chance of not drawing, always watching. So, or you don't have other creatures that untap your shit. Then you're like, all right, this is just not reliable enough, and it's kicking my own ass by having this thing tap too much. So it might not be playable, but you know,
at the very least, it's still a 2-mana one that counteracts Sylvan Advocate, which would be a 2/3. So you can still have something to defend against that and slow the board down until you build up to what you want to build.
Four fours for two, bro. Lifelink, that's. Big stats. Big fucking stats. Especially with Vigilance.
Did you guys already talk about Throne of the God?
Yeah, we walked away and we were fucking horny and yelling and screaming about it.
Yeah, I got a big old heart on just for token EDH. Or Army of Darkness or whatever. Yeah. What, that brings out the 13 zombies.
Yep. for 13. We discussed this whole thing. We also use Improvise. I said Crippleth Right to bring all your creatures for getting mana. You're doing
shit.
Elves. We're tapping all your elves for mana and untapping them and tapping them.
Super.
And then you're attacking in or you leave them untapped. It's just, besides just the basic, look at this card, whenever I attack with a creature, at the end step, if it's alive, I get another damage. There's so many more routes to build around this fucking card besides just attacking creatures.
Standard is Improvise.
God damn. It's fucking a good
card. I don't know if you like go back 10 minutes. Like when you guys was talking, I was just like, oh, yeah. Like, you can hear me make a noise because I just read that card for the first time. I was like, wow, that is fucking awesome.
God damn it. Super good. So if you're going to play that enchantment you got a hard on for that makes the little 2/2 Drakes.
Yeah.
You got to play Curator of Mysteries. For 2 and double blue, it's a 4/4 flyer Sphinx. Whenever it says it's flying. Whenever you cycle or discard another card, scry 1.
Dude, a playable Sphinx.
Yeah.
Amazing. 4/4 for 4. Like in flying, that's just like the Thunderbreak region, you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh my god, is this a fucking playable dragon? That's insane. So
even if you're not playing the other card, it still gives you that. It still gives you bonuses for when you're playing your lands and you don't need to, and you cycle them.
And if you just feel like this card sucks right now, then you can just pay 1 blue and get a new card. Itself, like very low risk here, guys. Very low risk.
I think I agree. I think it's a very solid
Super solid card. Is it going to see a whole bunch of play? Is it going to be a control finisher? I don't know where it's going to even fit because it doesn't seem like much of a control card. But if their cycling becomes a big thing, I mean, can you really go wrong with a 4/4 flyer for 4? That just sounds, like, totally fine. Only problem is, I guess, just, like, Heart of Kieran and shit like that. It's kind of fucking annoying. But besides that, I mean,
let's do the other ones. Let's end on Liliana. So let's do the other cards.
Okay, other cards. You want to take one of these, big boy?
Hapatrappa, Visor of Poisons.
Fucking asshole.
Hapatrappa. For green and a
Visor of
black.
Poisons. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah. Zier.
Visor. Visor's better.
Hapatrappa, Visor.
Poker wearing a visor. It's got flashing lights on it. It's a see-through brim.
Poussins? It's a 2/2 legendary creature, human cleric.
This should not be a human cleric. That needs to be a snake druid.
That it should be, but Hapatrappa, whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you may put a -1/-1 counter on target creature. Your own creature, if you want. Whenever you put one or more -1/-1 counters on a creature, create a 1/1 green snake creature token with death touch. So you play this with all your other comes into play with -1/-1 counters, and you have a goddamn snake army that only the Pied Piper can destroy.
Yeah, exactly. So why is this a human cleric? It should be a snake druid. I'm very excited this card. I think it's pretty good. I think it's way better than the
Don't
fucking
druids
other
always tap for mana though.
Not always
provide some kind of mana value.
Not necessarily.
Card draw.
But you're not wrong, but no. The druids don't necessarily all.
You're not wrong, but you're fucking.
There are druids
wrong.
that give you mana, but they're not all involved with mana. God damn
it. You don't know.
I do know.
Okay.
That's pretty sexy, though.
Yeah, so once again, 2/2 for 2 that are legendary, that have a name and do a bunch of shit. Like,
now we have 2 of them that are 2-color legendary creatures, so hopefully we'll get 3 more in a cycle of fucking legendary 2/2s.
That would be dope. That would be amazing. So this thing's cool. I mean, it has that synergy besides the top thing, because this thing's not hitting fucking. This is not doing common damage.
It's not really about
players.
That. It's
no, it's the bottom part, though. Whenever you put a -1/-1 counter on a creature, which could be your own or could
be
your opponent's.
Be removal in this set to have -1/-1.
You get bonus effects now. You get to fucking kill a creature or make a creature smaller, and then you get to fucking make a 1/1 death toucher. And if there's downsides to like that 5/4 haste dude, you put a bunch of fucking counters on that, then you're like, all right, fine. I just get to make 1/1 snakes. Like, who gives a shit?
Yep.
So, yeah, fantastic.
I'm stoked on it.
Yeah, that's going to be a really good one. Okay.
Quick little mentionable.
Here we go.
I think it's pretty sweet the Magma Spray is back in the set.
Magma Spray is back. That is good.
1 red, deal 2 damage to a creature. The creature would die this turn, exile it instead.
Didn't I tell you that Scrap Heap Scrounger is way too powerful for standard?
There
told
it
you
is.
Was push, bro.
Now you, Magma now,
Spray
now you have your
is
fucking
in
answer.
To take care of that shit, that fucking bullshit recursion shit.
Love recursion.
I know, right? So, okay, we got to get on to the fucking the good shit, which is...
Speaking of recursion.
Soul Scar Mage. One red mana, 1/2 with prowess. This sounds very familiar. If a source you control would deal non-combat damage to a creature an opponent controls, put that many -1/-1 counters on that creature instead. So, this makes it where damage is permanent from burn-type effects. Or even, like, fight mechanics, or the ones like the green limited one where it just does damage equal to, like, its power or whatever without fighting.
Or your goblins that, kind of that can tap and ping creatures for one.
Yeah, now instead of being like, well, this thing's a 2/2 and I can only do one damage, it's never going to kill it. Now it's like, oh, I just turned it into a 1/1 forever. Like, that's fucking good. Oh, cool. It works with fucking Hippopotipata. And then fucking, now we get a 1/1 Death Touch Snake dude.
Woo! And... this motherfucker has prowess, so it's like you attack in.
This nigga.
Do you have a burn spell to now...
shrink a dude?
Soul Scar will survive, and it will shrink the dude.
Dude, this card's good. And then this card's fucking way good.
Happatrappa will be all happy and squirt out
like
a snake.
The really easy to work with
the synergy. Implications.
The synergy that this could, like, this has a lot of interaction with a bunch of shit, so it doesn't make it where it's too specific. It's just like, no, literally, just dude, like, damage is 1/1 counters. Like, we don't even care. There's no stipulations here. Just like, you do something, it shrinks something, it's all beneficial. Like, we're just having a good time here. Oh, you have other shit that works with 1/1 counters? Cool, but otherwise, I'm literally just doing all this work for you without any other interaction. So it's fucking good. It's really good.
Sexy time.
Yeah. Final, for the finale. Who's reading it? Let's roll some dice. See who's reading it.
Well, we have one more red.
I don't want to read that one. That one fucking sucks, bro. One sucks balls.
At the beginning of your... Nope. Skipped.
Yeah,
we're Liliana, Death's Majesty.
Thank you.
So for 3BB, it's a 5 loyalty Liliana. +1, create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. Not tapped. And then mill 2.
I like that.
-3... return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. That creature is a black zombie in addition to its other colors and types.
Recursion.
That's pretty fucking nice.
I'm pretty happy about that.
When I first read it, I was like, yeah, whatever. But now that I'm thinking about it in, like, you know, non-standard related formats, well, I'm just like, oh, my.
You know what's sweet about that? Really that anymore, that's so. Already a 5-mana effect.
Yeah.
Like, you're just getting additional value of having a planeswalker still on the battlefield by already doing an uncommon level effect. That's already going to be great in so many strategies, so, like, who cares?
And then -7, destroy all non-zombie creatures. How lovely.
Come on,
How lovely is that? That's just...
I love Liliana so much. Almost all of her iterations are just fucking fantastic.
And you can't see her fucked up legs in this picture.
I was going to say the same thing. And then a fucking other picture, she's got, like, 3 legs, and, like, you don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, now they fixed the picture, it looks like.
Yep. So, I mean, 5 mana... just for a +1 of create a zombie mill 2. Is that really, you know, is that really going to be a game changer when you're behind? Probably not. But
no, but if you build decks that are using your recursion effects and that you want zombies in the field, like, there's no reason this card is not going in my zombie EDH deck. It might draw off and guess a deck.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, I guess I was thinking of, like, a standard or, I mean, modern, it's way too slow. But just from a standard perspective, like, 5 mana... put a token, a 2/2 token on the battlefield. Like, is that going to be enough? You know, when you don't have a graveyard full of stuff.
So,
well, when you go ahead and mill your fucking scrappy scrounger out the 2-card mill, I mean, now you get fucking 3.
I like
2/2.
All 3 abilities protect her. That's
yes,
sweet. That's, like, important, right? That's one of the things that we look for in planeswalker is that if it can't protect the planeswalker, this is going to be a really bad.
She's gonna die real quick.
This is going to be a really bad play when it's the only thing that's on the board.
Yeah.
So now instead we get a ways to protect her.
Yeah,
for
all 3,
and it's also only you go up 2 to use the ultimate, which
three
is also
turns ultimate. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we like that. We like that in our planeswalkers.
I think this is just a solid fucking planeswalker.
Yeah, I'm down for. I like her.
We're talking, like, in standard. Okay, probably sees play. Maybe doesn't. I don't know. But if it does, 2 of at the most.
Yeah,
like, it's not the Liliana Last Hope, which is 4 of, slam that shit in there.
It's not a win condition.
Like, yeah, this is just like we're gonna throw it in like Obnixilus. Just take out Obby. Fucking throw in some Lily, dude. That's it. It's done deal.
Esper Control.
Esper Control's coming at you.
And this is going to help, you know, zombie decks, so that'll be nice.
So I'm not going to play it in Modern, but I want to play it in Modern.
No.
Like, I'm not. I'm just saying it's too slow. It's not good enough. I'm not even hit fucking 5 mana in my whole game.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, it's like
everything about this is zombies. Like, I get to do everything that's... It's a zombies tribal. It's great. But I think that The Last Hope is actually the best Planeswalker for my modern deck, even though I'm playing Liliana the Veil as that one of, because I pulled it. I don't own any Last Hope. I think Last Hope is just better, though, because...
I love that.
It does get creatures back to my hand, and it does the ultimate make zombies. Like, it's just... Right. That's kind of just what a zombie deck does. Where the other one, yeah, it is obviously the fucking... Queen of Planeswalkers, you know?
Liliana the Veil.
Yeah, Veil is amazing, but for my zombie deck, I actually feel that I kind of prefer the Last Hope, or a Last Hope, whatever it is. The yeah. Last Hope.
Yeah, you're not doing any kind of control. You're not doing Grisha's control. You're doing a zombie aggressive deck, so yeah. Last Hope is better for that effect.
Yeah, I think that just even playing her and getting a fucking zombie back, you know what I mean, late game, that's already going to be just enough, rather than me making my opponent discard a card when I'm way back. So, I'm not trying to talk shit on Liliana the Veil. Who the fuck would do that? But, yeah, I think that the 3-mana Planeswalkers are where it's at, and this one is just, it's just some gravy, you know, for the deck.
The only thing I don't like about this Liliana is...
The art?
There you go. She's wearing a fucking prom dress, and she doesn't look sexy. Liliana is sexy. And prom dress, she looks like, I don't know, a cheap 16-year-old.
And she's trying to imitate old banana hammock.
Yeah.
Tasker.
And it's too Tasker. Colorful.
Yeah, it's too colorful.
And she's not naked enough.
Yeah, the prom dress.
Why is the sun shining so fucking bright in the background? Like, why is she's in the shade, but like, it's a beautiful day outside.
Why can't there be death magic at nighttime?
Yeah, what the fuck? Is this a desert with no trees?
Why can't there be a shadow? Why can't there be a
Why can't it be dusk, motherfucker?
Why can't she be under the shadow of Nicopolis? Come on.
Yeah, why can't there be horns?
Why can't my dick band not be in her hands?
The fucking...
Yeah, peel my dick. Peel it.
Anyways.
Unwrap my mummy cock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so petrified and mummified.
just, you're justified.
Any other ones we missed? Anything else we got? I think we kind of burned through a lot of this stuff. I think the set so far, we haven't seen enough of it, but I think there's like 4 excellent cards, and the rest of them are just fucking... cards.
It,
I don't know.
It kind of makes me want to play standard a little bit. You know, yeah, maybe once rotation happens, but...
Hot Sauce sent us a group message talking about As Foretold, and we're all very excited about it. And I just wrote back with, I'm very excited about the set. And he was like, yeah, I'm not really, I'm so-so on it. I just like As Foretold. I think it's great. And my point being, my rebuttal to him was, I'm excited because it's bringing a complexity level back to this game where it just seemed like things are like, you know, just more, so much more straightforward. All these negative one counters, the cycling, the build around cards, it just feels like it's bringing some more complexity back into standard, which has been lacking. So, like, that's why I'm excited. Yeah, there isn't a whole lot of overpowered cards you've seen so far.
I just want to play heroic, dude.
Oh my god. I enjoy the build around stuff and the trying to do funky things and the complexity level of getting to your end goal over a straightforward.
Now, you said that, and I was like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense, and I can be on board of that because, like, it's going to be harder to build good decks. You'd hope that you could, you know, really fucking crunch the numbers and make a better deck than just Mardu vehicles and all that other shit based on the cards that are available. You just got to really think really fucking hard to do it rather than just throw together best value creatures in the one deck. I think that if you have the brewing skills that you can make something that has some weird synergies that the general public just didn't notice.
I just want to brew with the blue god with... What is it, fucking Kefnet?
The careful?
Yeah. I want to carefully brew with that motherfucker. It seems broken. In my mind, it's like, wow, that's fucking broken.
So I'm going to do that white-blue 2-2 that makes the tokens unblockable, and then Drake Haven, and then Watcher, or the
2-1 zombies.
No, not the zombies. Those are going to be Drakes. No, the Throne of the God, Pharaoh.
Yeah,
it'll be tokens, mostly 2-2 birds, maybe some servos, whatever. Everything's fucking tapped and attacking, and then at the end step, does a bunch of damage.
Yeah. I'm going to build around Esper Control and Throne of the God of Pharaoh. That'll be my 2 build around.
I just want to make a horribly obnoxious control deck with that god. Yeah. That's right. The only thing I'm
good. I'm going to try to do just the Pharaoh. I think that's probably my main thing. Pharaoh and Drake are my 2 top cards right now, I think, as far as what I want to build. Like, yeah, that blue god is pretty fucking dope, and I really like it, and I think it'll be excellent if I play against it. I think I'll be pretty pissed when I see it on the other side of the battlefield, but I think, for me, I really like that Drake Haven.
I almost want to, like, pre-order it when I know I shouldn't, you know? That's how much confidence I have in this card.
The god pharaoh? Or?
Yeah, the blue god. I can't.
Well, how much is it right now?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to look it up. You guys fucking go ahead and do your thing. I'm gonna look this.
If it's like $5, I'm pre-ordering the fuck out of that. You know, I highly doubt it's $5.
What do you think it is?
I think it's 13.
Okay,
I'll say like 9.
You say 9. I'm gonna say 16. And we are looking at.
Hey,
what the fuck?
You're too slow. Hey.
No, I think it's not on the first, it's not on the front page.
Oh, nope. Not up for pre-sales.
Oh, dude, you should get
it. Your mission.
What'd you say?
5?
What'd you say?
13.
Well, I said 9, but I want to buy it at 5.
It's $5.
Consider it fucking done.
You're right. I think so too. I'd probably pick up 3 of them.
What's the God Feral artifact at? Throne of the God Feral.
Okay, hold on. Let me look at some of the
that and As Foretold. What are those two at?
I'm going to wait 40 more minutes until my work pays me. And then I'm going
to
buy.
As we're told, it's $20.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'd hope to draw that one.
And the Pharaoh thing is nothing. I mean, I don't think it's on. It's not on the first two pages. So, okay. So Gideon's 35. Liliana is 28. As Foretold is 20. All the premium full art lands that are coming out are all $20.
By the way, if you're new to Magic or you just don't know this rule, it's a steadfast rule. Never pre-order Planeswalkers.
Yeah,
never.
For sure. Never. Agreed.
But you in the back of your head, you're going to be like, well,
what about Jace?
Somebody told me about Flip Jace and blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what?
There's always an anomaly to the rule.
There's always going to be a mutation.
Hey, Red God, same price as the Blue God right now. Stupid idiots.
Well, Red God.
Okay, the Cycling Lands are only $4. Cycling Lands are $4.
Oh,
the
yeah, Sphinx, Cycling Lands are $4. That's
Sphinx
garbage.
Is $4.
I'll buy them at $150.
Cut to Ribbons, which we didn't even
they'll
talk about because who cares?
It'll be cheaper.
Cut to Ribbons is $4 right now. It's fucking stupid as shit. That card should be like no money at all.
What about Failure to Comply?
That is also $4. All the fucking ones are $4, actually.
What about Happatrap?
Happatrappy. Which one's Happatrap?
What about the Planeswalker decks? Cheap. How much are they going for?
Throne is $3.
Okay.
And anything else that's worthwhile? No, everything else is just $2 or less. Anything you can think of right now is $2 or less.
Sweet. So,
well, Drakehaven is $1.80 right now. And even if it does see a bunch of play, if somehow, mysteriously, it doesn't matter. It'll be $4 at the top end. Like, who cares? Yeah.
So, is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap this up?
Temet's only 50 cents right now. The one I want to build.
Dude, fucking, it's not good. Buy some foils.
Dude, I know. It's bad. But, yeah, 50 cents right now. Even pre-order. Holy shit. The price of a stamp. They're literally losing money sending it to you. Sweet.
Anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap this up, B?
I think that's about it there, bro.
All right, well, that has been it for episode 107 of If Lands Could Kill. Check out all our cool shit in the show notes. It will guide you to places where you can email us or get a hold of us on Twitter.
Please go to Twitter. Stop going
everywhere
else. We
have a Facebook because it's like as a joke.
For people like Greg from Gina Collectibles who are old.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to.
He's like, I don't know how to tweet, and it's like you don't have to. Just fucking.
Facebook came preloaded on his phone. On his.
He doesn't have a smartphone.
On his flip phone.
He just has a computer.
See, this is.
He doesn't have a laptop.
About.
It's just.
He just has a. He has a fucking. A landline.
Is he literally slide credit cards in a little fucking thing on the paper? Like the. Yeah. The
I bet you half our listeners don't know what that is.
Carbon copy fucking credit cards.
And like,
he just takes all the receipts to the bank and is like, you make sense of this.
I'm like, on his cash register, like, go ching, and it has like the little dollar, the little single dollar signs and numbers come up.
He writes his thank you notes on a typewriter.
Does he get his grandson to send his emails? Great grandson. The neighbor's kid. Oh man, we're going to get some heat from him. I hope he listened this far. This would be fucking great.
Oh, he will.
Nah, this is great. This is great.
He's a little listening.
We love you. Hey, we played Cube today. That was fucking great.
Yeah.
We all just like our.
We had a good time razzing Knife's fiance on what a Cube is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's an idiot.
Oh, wow. Wow.
When it comes to listening. Cube and other shapes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. We'll catch you guys later. We're going to play some Magic.
Gonna play the Pooh song.
Nice city. So and grow. Hot
he
sauce.
Hasn't heard it right, so.
Oh, the Pooh song. Oh, the Pooh song's great. Fucking download that shit right away.
Yeah, first up, we didn't do our name out.
Didn't we? No, we did?
No.
Oh, hey! Episode 107, I'm Nice City.
So, girl.
It's awesome.
And we'll catch you guys later.
That's why I don't do it. When
the shit goes down, he may be in your town. Don't get caught with your pants down. Don't be a fool, don't drop the kids at the pool. Oh yeah, he's one cruel stool. Number two. Does what the doo-doos do. Ooh, number two. He smells like poo. Silent but deadly, you'd better beware. He might just be in your underwear. Best hold your breath. No, don't breathe that noxious vapor. Make sure you've got some toilet paper. Cause he'll pop out of the potty when he's feeling naughty. This is one moody duty that will bite you in your booty. Ooh, number two. He does what the doo-doos do. Ooh, number two. Smells like poo. When he walks into the room, kings and queens step aside. But that won't get to his foolish pride. And he'll pop out of the potty when he's feeling naughty. This is one moody duty that will bite you. He does what the doo-doos do. Ba-da-ba-ba, ba-da-da-da-da-da-ba-ba. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What the doo-doos do. Ooh, number two. Number two, number two. He smells like poo.